welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, this is big. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. I'm going to be giving out $10,000 of my own money by the end of today. Still time to get your celebrities in here. And as we spoke about off the air at the end of the show yesterday, we have had a sales lady, when we went out to San Diego, she worked for the station out there, tell each and every person in this room at least 30-something times for a combined 200 times that she was good friends with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
And because they went to high school together. And if she, you know, if I needed Will, all I had to do is give her a thumbs up. She'd get on the blower. He'd be in to collect the $10,000.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
Now, let me say something about drunken people when they nibble on your ear for long periods of time. They then get upset when you get on the radio show and bust their chops a little bit. Perhaps they should have thought of that the 28th or 30th time they told me the same goddamn story about somebody they didn't know.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
That's just one, though. That's just one little gem from a month that has been nothing short of exhilarating.
Really?
Hasn't it been a thrill? We've had
Willie Nelson was the first.
Willie Nelson started the whole thing off in style, talking about the weed.
Yes.
It's marijuana.
Mm-hmm. The Barbie twins, and we took a little dip.
They didn't like that. Yeah, that Adam insulted them by saying he thought Willie Nelson was a bigger star than they were.
Shocking.
We've had our bumps in the road.
Then we had Tony Hawk in The Rock.
Yeah, Tony Hawk and The Rock sounds like a nice cop show. I would definitely watch Friday nights about 10 o'clock.
They'd be a good team of cops, wouldn't they?
Tony Hawk and The Rock. He would definitely use his skateboarding skills. He would use his wrestling and coaching skills. I'm not done with this chick out of San Diego. First off, sweetie, you're lucky I don't remember anyone's name, and this is one of the reasons why I don't. Because I knew we'd never see each other again when you didn't bring
it.
Will Ferrell. And what was her name?
Beth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
By the way, Beth, if we don't get Will Ferrell, we may get Beth later on today.
I'm just saying this, Beth. You owe me. Because either you get me Will Ferrell or you show up to my house one weekend and you just walk in a circle until you get dizzy and fall down so you can waste 45 minutes of your time and then you can pick yourself up and leave.
Yes, we were talking about this yesterday, like in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, when Mr. Hand wants his time back from Spicoli and shows up at his house.
I want my life back. Look, we get into it from time to time. What is your life? Well, it's 80 years if you're lucky on the planet. All right. Well, if it was 80 years of you being tortured with a garden hose, that wouldn't be a great 80 years. And if it was 80 years of you running free through a brothel or driving a dune buggy or doing whatever flips your cookie, well, then it's a great life. So that's how you break it up. The 26 exchanges I had with Beth were not a good part of my life. Now, here's what you do in life, too. Here's how it works. Well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to spend a whole day putting these leaflets on the windshields of cars in the supermarket. But maybe there's a payday. Maybe I get some customers into my business and it makes me some money so I can buy my dune buggy. That's how life works. The ones where you spend the week putting the flyers on the windshields and get and yield zero return, that's the part where you want your life back. And these conversations, especially when it gets into the 25th time where you know Will Ferrell, now you're wasting my life. Now I had to listen. I couldn't tell you to shut up. Although I did bring up, and I thought was a valid point, just because you went to high school with the guy, what makes you think you can get him in here? Hey, man, we went to high school. I could call him up. We went to high school. I said, do you have his phone number? We went to high school, she kept repeating. I said, you know how many people I went to high school with who cannot reach me on the phone? Everybody. What makes you think you can get Will Ferrell on the phone? Oh, she said it. She said it to you. She said it to Dave.
I wish you weren't a liar.
She had me in a fatal talk hold for at least 20 minutes. And here's the thing, though, about Beth, about sales girl Beth from our affiliate in San Diego. She's a sweet woman, and I do think she just got nervous in front of you.
We're not so sure about that.
I think, to defend her, I think she got nervous talking to you, and she didn't know what to say, so she maybe repeated herself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? It's Beth. She just killed herself.
So be it. Look, I'm sure she was a nice person, but all the best in the world, for all the best out there. And when you have a few beers, relax. Don't talk everyone's ear off. And everyone in general, stop making promises you can't keep. Stop explaining you know people you don't know. Stop talking about businesses you're never going to start up. Stop it. You should be talking to yourself. Don't try to convince me. Your job in life, everybody, is not to convince me you know Will Ferrell. It's to convince yourself you know Will Ferrell by finding out Will Ferrell's number or address. Stop trying to convert everyone. That's what everyone does. I'm going to start a business. You know, I'm going for my doctorate. I'm going to do this. I got an idea for my own jeans company. I'm going to start my own jeans company. Stop trying to convince. As if you can convince enough people, somehow the business will magically appear. Somehow the celebrity will magically appear. How about you take some of the energy, and this is not just for Beth, this is for everyone. Take the energy that you currently use with your campaign to convince the world you're either good-looking or you're successful or you've started your own business or you have inroads to celebrities. Stop spending all the energy convincing the world and actually burn some calories doing whatever it is you're talking about. How about that, everybody?
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
Yes, that goes for everybody out there. Instead of spending all your time and energy trying to convince the world, maybe it's one more crappy tattoo, maybe it's getting a lift kit on the truck, whatever it is, whatever you're trying to convince the world of, perhaps you should put that energy into whatever it's going to take to actually make yourself into the person that you would like the world to see instead of convincing the people. Because I'm just doing the math. We got 300 million Americans. It's going to take a long time to convince them all I'm not a loser. Instead, I could take that time, put it into myself, and not be a loser. And that's an easier ad campaign. And I get a little nicer apartment and a better car out of the deal as well. The more you know, everyone. Leave everyone alone.
In that 4 hours that Beth spent telling us about meeting Will Ferrell at the reunion, high school reunion, how she could have been on the phone dialing.
Right. Or in rehab. Either way. Please, everyone, stop wasting everyone else's time. The number of conversations I've had with people about stuff that meant nothing, that they had no intention of doing, I could fill a goddamn Olympic swimming pool with. And again, that's it. That's your life. You get 80 years. So what percentage of it do you spend talking to the people you want to talk to, doing what you want to do, versus zero, or just the sort of conversation that never has an end? Well, there you go. Fantabulous. So what are we going to do? Well, let's see. We got our football picks to get to. We have last week's to go over. We didn't spin the wheel yet, the gambling wheel, the betting wheel, because we're out of town on Monday. So we're going to do that today. Henry Winkler.
Yeah. Fonz.
In studio, it says here. I thought he was calling in, but he's coming in studio.
Well, known as the nicest man in Hollywood.
I went to high school with Henry. And I picked up the blower. Now, yes, I was about to say that. He is so gracious and so friendly.
That's what they, heard that many times.
And can I say this? Then how about, you know, when they do that thing where this guy's reputation being an a-hole or this chick has a reputation of being a diva or tough to work with, and people do that thing where they go, well, you know, people talk. You can't listen to those people. You get somebody's jealous, a little petty differences, and they start spreading rumors. Okay, so if we can't listen to who the C's are and who the a-holes are, well then, Henry Winkler, we have to throw out the fact that everyone says he's a really nice guy too, right?
Yep.
Because it's the same thing. It's just innuendo and hearsay.
Yes.
We should not believe them? No. Henry Winkler, I've met on a couple of occasions, is a very sweet guy, very nice guy, and does deserve the rap of being a great person to work with. And your Star Joneses of the world do deserve the C rap. The Rosies of the world, they do deserve that. You earn it, just like the nice ones.
Yeah.
It's one way or the other, right?
It doesn't seem like a coincidence if 9 people say Jeremy Piven's a pain to work with. Maybe he is.
Right. Here's how life works. You work with people. They then report to other people. Was it a pleasant experience working with Henry Winkler? Sweetheart of a guy. Was it a pleasant experience working for Rosie O'Donnell? No, she's a raving C. That's how reputations get spread. That's how they work. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a human being that works with Henry Winkler and then goes home to the roommate and go, that guy's out of control? He's an out-of-control narcissistic prima donna. He tried to hit me. When, in fact, Henry Winkler was just being the nice guy that we all know him to be? No. That's why they're all deserved.
It's always great, though, when the people who are disliked have some rationalization for it, as though they weren't a part of it. You
People
know,
are jealous.
T.O. has no idea why nobody likes T.O.
They're jealous.
Maybe it has something to do with your constant bad behavior, T.O.
Speaking of bad behavior, Def Frat Guy coming in as well. And then, and this is an all-star. I mean, we could actually combine these celebrities and probably take the three, take the $10,000. Jimmy Kimmel's coming in. Richard Roper, Perez Hilton, all going to decide who should get the $10,000. But again, people, the day is young and you have until, well, about 9:40. Got yourself, you know, 3.5 hours to make a move. Somebody could still go home with that $10,000. Well, next, we got a handwriting analyst in here. I'm looking at her stationery, and she already looks nuts.
Because she has the eyes on her stationery?
I've not met her. But what we're going to do is we're going to write down a sentence, everybody. Teresa is, Dave is, everyone here. And she's going to analyze the handwriting that we do and tell us what. What are we going to find out about ourselves?
Well, she claims she can tell about your sex drive, imagination, intelligence, emotional stability, and communication skills, right from the handwriting.
All right.
But she does have some credibility. She's 23 years of experience, and she's been in court cases, et cetera, you know, tracking down criminals
okay.
and stuff.
All right. Well, we'll write our sentence, and then she'll come back and analyze them next break, right?
She also knows Will Ferrell.
All right. We'll do that. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where today someone's going to walk away with $10,000.
10 grand is going to the person that gets us the best guest.
Mike August is the name of the guy who books our talent.
Beat him, and you'll win 10 grand.
Bring them on.
Book August in September. A listener booked Willie Nelson.
Some years back, you gave me a tour of your tour bus, and it smelled like bong water.
Oh, yeah.
Big Tad booked Howard Stern.
Adam, seriously, we haven't talked in a while, and congratulations on your twins.
Mike August booked Johnny Knoxville.
Wow, you have a little penis.
Who's it going to be? Stick around to find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Where were we? Cynthia Norris is in studio. She analyzes handwriting. She's a graphologist. Good to see you, Cynthia.
Hello.
How do you get into this business?
I took a course.
You did?
Yes, I did.
And the more you know. Well, there you go.
Verbose.
Well, that's... But it wasn't a calling. You weren't staring at handwriting as a youth.
Actually, I had always wondered what my handwriting meant because I had always wrote downhill when I was a child.
Mm-hmm. And you mean, meaning it...
It slanted downhill, mm-hmm. yeah. And which means depression, and it's like,
shocker.
I always wondered why I wrote downhill. Mm-hmm. And so that's what led me into the business.
And you've been, your service have... Services, I should say, have been used in some court cases.
Yes.
To what? See if somebody's signature was the same on the check as it was on the ledger or that kind of thing?
Yeah, forgery cases.
Mm-hmm. And how much of a science is this?
It's very much of a science. It dates back many, many centuries ago. Because handwriting is really actually brain writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it transmits through the brain.
So your brain is sort of the computer that's functioning and manipulating your arm, but it's what's going on in the brain that's telling the hand to move in the way it moves, right?
Right, right. You know, and also it's like if there's certain things that you want to change about yourself, you can change certain things about your handwriting, and if you make that consistent... it'll make a permanent personality change.
I felt like if I started dotting my I's with big circles, I would be happier. Mm. Is that true?
Actually, putting big circles above eye dots, that's mm-hmm. a desire for attention. So you attract a lot of attention to yourself.
It's a cry out like what T.O. did.
What if I dot my I's with hearts? Will I be thinner?
No, that's also... a desire to attract attention.
Okay.
Hmm. In high school, Teresa used to dot her eye with a tear, a single tear.
A real tear.
A salty tear.
I just cry on it.
And her phone number. Please call me.
Well, Cynthia, you have the papers that we wrote on. Now, my handwriting, everything, here's the thing. I didn't learn to read until I was probably, Well, I'm still learning, but I didn't really go to have any formal schooling until I was about the sixth grade. The fifth grade is when I had formal schooling. So I never really learned to read, write, spell, or, you know, diction, grammar, punctuation, all that stuff. Never understood it, never figured it out. And then as I graduated high school, I got into carpet cleaning and then into construction. And I just figured I would lead an entire life where I never had to read or write or do anything. You know, once you become an adult and you get out into society and you have one of these jobs where you don't have to read or write, then you're out and all you do is, well, you don't play Scrabble on the weekends with Kimmel and you're fine. That's how it goes. At some point in life, when I got in the show business, I had to start reading and then start writing, and it was horrible for me. So I always thought my handwriting was just horrible looking, A, because I was left-handed, but B, just because I never really learned to do it when I was young. What about that? I mean, how can you say that it's connected to the person's personality if they never, in fact, learned how to do it?
Well, I've analyzed writing of two-year-olds, and they don't really know how to write.
Right, but it says kill daddy, and I think anybody, regardless of the...
Ace, okay. Mm-hmm. How is it, to go back for a second, what do you mean you didn't have any formal schooling until fifth grade? What does that mean?
I have sort of... my mom was kind of a hippie, and my dad was... well, you know my dad. He's hands-off. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get that involved. And this was in the 70s, and my mom sent us to some sort of 70s free-range hippie, you know, grade school where it wasn't really a school. I mean, it was basically the McMartin school. Just people just open up their house and then you just hang out and the parents smoke weed and the kids throw dirt clods at each other.
Yes, I had the exact same experience. Man. I went to a school in San Francisco called Synergy School Without Walls, and they didn't teach us how to cursive. So I didn't know how to handwrite until I was 10 or 11. I just taught myself out of a book.
There was this whole misguided, retarded movement in the 70s, and it probably didn't go on in Pittsburgh, PA, because it wasn't the 70s there. It was still the 50s, whereas we were in the 80s and early 90s over here during the 70s. See, it's whatever the decade you're in, it depends what state you're in. I mean, you go back to these places, you see bell bottoms showing up 10 years after they went out of style here in Southern California. But Southern California was always on the vanguard of every retarded movement there was. And this was a thing where kids are not children, they're young adults, and they're capable of making up their own minds. And if he says he doesn't want to do his homework, well, then there's a reason he doesn't want to do his homework, and we should respect it. Now, mostly, it was stoned, apathetic, lazy parents that didn't want to go through the work of sitting down and doing the homework with the kid. But there was, you know what started it? The movie Billy Jack. If anyone hasn't seen Billy Jack, go see it, and you'll understand very well what got this whole movement started. So a lot of adults sitting around in Birkenstocks, blowing on the spleef, and a lot of kids out exploring not only their throwing arm, but their sexuality. Yes. And that was about it. All I did was make stuff out of clay and then throw it at other kids and then wrestle them to the ground.
And did you call your teachers? Like, our teachers were Rusty and Kathy.
Yeah. It was like, Adam... we're going to go out. We're going to go on a field trip. Hey, Bert, Adam doesn't feel like he wants to go there. Adam feels like he'd like to throw another dirt clod. All right, Bert, please.
It's a whole bunch of validation. Everything you think is a great idea.
I'll give you an example. One of the field trips we went on was the burnt out SLA house in South Central.
No,
yes. The house that Patty Hearst was abducted to.
I thought it was Sex and Love Anonymous.
Appropriate.
Yes, found a few spent bullet shells, some bullet casings. It was awesome. Yeah, well, the Stone teachers wanted to go check out the burnt-out house that was the SLA headquarters that Patty Hearst was held in and burnt down to the ground out in Watts, so they decided it'd be a nice cultural experience for the kids. It's just one of those. It was really just narcissistic adults wanting to do their own thing and dragging the kids along with them. We never so much as put two and two together or opened a book the entire time. So by the time I got to the fifth grade, I was more than illiterate. I was like a feral child who'd never actually been in society. I knew, you know, people think, oh, you're going to know how to read just intuitively. No, no, no. You know how to read intuitively like you know how to speak Japanese intuitively. You don't. You have to grow up in that culture. You have to have people speaking it around you. If you don't know how to read, it's because no one ever taught you and you never learned. So for me, I was way behind early, and then become embarrassed and it becomes a little secret and you really get shamed and everything. And so you do all that business where, you know, somebody says, let's play Scrabble, and you go, I don't want to come out. Yeah, I could do it, no problem, but let's go outside and run around. You know, you just do all that and you never learn. Then you get into construction and look out. So anyway, I'm sorry. Who are we talking to? Cynthia, that's right.
She's been analyzing things we wrote about Tad. We wrote a few sentences about Big Tad.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell us what kind of people we are based on the handwriting, yes?
Right.
All right.
And the first one she has is Tad's.
Oh, right. Okay,
so Tad, sociable, emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Strong physical drive, strong sex drive.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you hadn't gotten laid in 3 years, you'd have a strong drive, too.
Hungry.
Very, very intelligent.
All right, throw her out.
You tune people out. A selective listener. And optimistic.
All right. All nothing, though. None of this means anything. This is one of those things where you say, Teresa, you're sensitive. There's a side of you that you show people at work, and then another side that you keep very quiet. You love chocolate, but sometimes you beat yourself up for eating too much of it.
It's like you're looking into my soul, Adam.
I know. Come on, Cynthia. That's nothing.
Tell us
something.
He likes to control things.
No.
impulsive.
I'll go with impulsive. But so far, this is all stuff people could claim.
Persistent, very persistent.
Yeah, who doesn't say they're persistent? This is stuff you could attribute to 95% of society.
Should we see what she has
nothing.
To say about some of the other samples?
Well, what did Tad say about himself? I'm curious. Can you read that?
Persistent, controlling. It's all written down there.
Yeah, he says he likes himself.
He was very persistent. There was a 16-inch pizza out there the other day. I said, can I get a slice? He said, no way. I'm eating this entire thing by myself. And he did.
You're concerned with not the content, but the actual script. So you don't care what
Absolutely.
He has to say.
Okay. Absolutely.
This is Dave's.
I really don't look at, you know, what it has to say.
So this is Dave Damashek's sample. And you say about him what?
He's very sensitive to criticism.
Wait a second. There might be something to this.
Why do you say
jealous.
That, by the way?
He's a jealous person.
Where are you getting all this stuff from, by the way?
Okay.
How do you read that?
Sensitivity to criticism is the loop D's.
The loop T's means you're sensitive.
D's. D's. D's and T's.
Yeah, that's how chicks write.
You know.
He's jealous, though, you say, as well.
Yeah, yes, jealousy, that little loop, you know.
Everybody better stay away from my wife. She's mine. Get your own.
You mean romantically jealous?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've never known that about him.
A little optimistic.
A little optimistic.
He worries about some things.
I can understand why you're such a useful tool in law enforcement.
Unlike most
this
people,
is a hard
I worry
science.
About some things.
Yes.
You worry about some things.
Yes, not others.
Yes.
Not
right,
Cynthia.
He worries about some things. Mm-hmm. Gets along very well with people.
All right.
No, yeah. You do get along well with people. That's true.
Concentrates well on things. With relationships.
What are we talking about?
In relationships, he likes a challenge.
What kind of relationships? Romantic?
Yeah. Personal relationships, he likes a challenge.
And what do you get that from? I like easy ladies.
The little stinger right there.
A stinger, what is that?
The little stinger right here.
And what do you mean likes a challenge in personal relationships? You mean a woman that's hard to get?
Good Christ, I'm gay.
Goes after someone successful, you know, and then he can get bored easily once he completes that.
Like right now, Dave?
Yeah. Why don't you read what Dave had to say about Tad?
Fat Tad is fatter than Bruska.
Yes, that's true. He is fatter than Bruska.
All right.
Keep going.
Okay.
What else did he say?
Okay, you know, but very self-confident.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
Oh, what did he say? However, Tad doesn't beat his meat as loudly as Bruska. Nobody does.
Well, that's true. I know that from personal experience.
All right, let's keep going. What do we have next? Teresa?
Teresa's next.
Teresa, she is very optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Is there
either.
A Jew who's optimistic?
Very well organized. Has some guilt feelings.
Now we're getting somewhere. Sure.
Worries quite a bit. Worries quite a bit.
Whoa. How can you be optimistic and worry quite a bit? Isn't that almost the antithesis of it?
You worry that things won't go as well as you're sure they will.
Yeah, I know. You can't be optimistic and worry all the time.
I'm so worried. My glass is so half full. What if it spills?
Very, very well organized.
Right.
Secretive at times. Critical at times, too.
Critical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, why don't you read what you said about Tad, by the way?
What I said?
What you wrote about Tad.
Though I don't know Tad very well, he seems like a nice enough guy. Sure, we mock him for being overweight, but I also believe he has a supersized heart, though filled with clogged arteries. He is always a good sport, and I don't mean the sport of competitive gurgitating.
All right, who's next? Am I next?
Adam, last one.
Cynthia Norris, handwriting analyst.
Yes. You're very critical.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's funny about that, Brian.
Huh. You have lots of energy. You're optimistic. Mm-hmm. You have strong physical drives.
Well, now, what's that mean?
A strong sex drive.
I mean, I guess with the right woman. No, I don't. I don't have much of a motor in me sexually anymore.
You have some leadership qualities.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
She figured that out because you're the boss.
It's not hard to figure out.
I see.
No,
it's the Adam Carolla show.
That's actually from the signature.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
His signature looks like it would have leadership qualities. Why?
The uphill slant. He would have more leadership qualities if it was also, underlined, then maybe he could be governor.
See, there are people that underline their signature, but when you're signing official documents, you can't do that because then you slide down into another box. Oftentimes it's underneath the signature box. You're into the Social Security box or whatever it is.
Well, actually, when you can sign your name, you can do whatever you want, really.
Well, I'm just saying, if you sign a bunch of... All right, Wiseacre, analyze your handwriting. The point is there's a lot of stuff where you sign your name and you can't do the line underneath it because you run into the rest of the document. You know what I mean? There's a lot of places where you sign your name that are sort of mid-document. If you're doing an escrow or something like that.
Anything else about Adam?
I'll take that long deafening silence.
He's sociable and he likes to control things. He's enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, let's stop that right there.
Aggressive.
Would you guys? Yeah, now, Teresa.
Intelligent.
Thank you.
Not critical. That was the first thing. You're very not critical. You rarely criticize anyone that I've heard.
Well,
so that seemed off.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I haven't heard. I mean,
we have a bit going. What can I complain about?
The world is full of it.
As a bit, but I mean, off the air when we're just discussing, you never hear
me. I don't
know
where you're going with this lady.
Well,
he's not critical.
I'm interested.
He's critical of things in life, but he doesn't criticize us. Personally.
I am not, and Dave, if you were not so fat and not so unfunny, I would fire your ass, but I'm not critical.
Maybe it's just because you don't criticize me that I don't feel you're
well, that's
critical.
The way most of this stuff works. But Teresa, you've been here for 4 or 5 months, so and you have not met me before this, so I feel like other people we have a little history with. But you wouldn't, would you call me controlling? What else did you say about me? A good leader?
Yeah, leadership qualities. Yeah, you like to control things. You're aggressive. You're very stubborn.
No, I don't know. I don't see myself as stubborn, aggressive, or controlling.
But I mean, critical, I know,
and
yes.
You're in denial.
These are all the things that most people that have their own radio show are. But I don't think I'm that way. Do you think that way?
Well, do you want to know what Brusky's just handed me your thing and wants me to read it? This is what Adam said about Tad. Tad is a great guy. I think he might win the $10,000. He is a big boned. He is big boned, and even if he lost weight, I don't think he could get under 450 pounds.
No, it's Adam's 250 pounds. Please.
I don't find many of those descriptions of you to be accurate.
You say just the critical one.
I will say that you are. I mean, the sex drive thing, the night we had together, you were a dynamo.
Well, you inspired me, David.
I didn't find many of those things resonated as far as you were concerned. And the descriptions of me didn't really seem.
I want to know how my sex drive is based on my handwriting.
You have a strong sex drive. Mm-hmm. You know, you a little sexually frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes.
Cynthia, are you a single woman?
Yes, I am.
Shocking. Oh. Cynthia Norris.
I'm single by choice.
I understand. Choice. Someone else's choice. Right?
I'll be using that line from here on out.
The rest of the populace, the male populace choice. Cynthia, you seem nutty to me. You seem very depressed. Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not.
All right. Well, perhaps you should write something down in such a way that you could analyze it.
Analyze a prescription.
Yes.
That makes me mad.
All right. Cynthia, thank you very much. I want to give your website out.
Thank you.
It's handwritingforyou.com. I don't know, Cynthia. I got to say, this is right up there with palm reading or, you know, feeling the lumps on your head. It doesn't feel like much of a science to me.
No way.
You were 2 for 13 with me, I feel.
Like I said, you're very critical.
Mm-hmm. Ah, see? Well, it all comes back around.
Oh, sweet.
Nicely played, lady.
Stubborn.
Nicely played. Cynthia Norris, thank you for coming in. T.
Yes.
What's in the news coming up?
Well, Larry Birkhead, who says he's Anna Nicole Smith's baby daddy, is speaking out. We're going to hear some of that. And also, who is now the highest paid man on television? I think you'll have something new to be critical about.
All that after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Hey, Jack, man's got a six-pack of Zima waiting back at the bachelor pad, so let's do this. Hell of a show today. Somebody's going to win 10 grand today for booking the best guest in September. Please, God, don't let it be August. Also in studio, Henry Winkler, the Fonz, hey, and the return of Def Rat Guy. It's going to be hella sweet. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Did he say hella sweet?
Yeah, I wonder if Jack Silver enjoyed the handwriting analyst we just had on.
She was hella boring.
I think he's hella hanging himself.
I think she hella killed herself in 1978. She's not going to kill herself. She did it in high school.
You can tell she's dead by the slant of her Q's.
Oh, how do you spell Morticia?
Adam's on the phone.
I was thinking Gollum.
So bad.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, whenever you get these people in, because they get pitched to us all day, hey, man, this chick reads your dog's, she reads your dog's mind, tell you what the dog's thinking, and you think to yourself, how's that possible? You know, whenever you have that thought, like, how's that possible? How can someone read your handwriting and tell what you're thinking or what kind of person you are? Then you speak to them and you go, oh, it's not possible. I understand. Really, 9 out of 10 things she said about me were wrong.
Critical. I just think you're insightful.
Well, I do question many things, but I guess the difference between critical and insightful, yes, are do critical people, I think, not only figure out what's wrong with the world or what's wrong with their coworkers or their mates or what have you, but they tell them what's wrong with them constantly. I understand there are things wrong with the world, but I don't tell everyone what's wrong with them constantly. Would you agree with that?
I do agree that, yes, you're not one-on-one, you're criticizing individuals, but yes, you criticize the world.
Policies,
yes.
Advertising campaigns, things like that. That's right. Okay, T, I'm sorry, baby doll. What's in the news?
Well, this has been in the news a lot lately, and you've probably seen some footage of it. A 53-year-old petty criminal who'd been living in his Jeep walked into a high school in Colorado Wednesday with a couple handguns, a backpack that he claimed had a bomb in it. He selected six female hostages, mostly blondes, and sexually assaulted at least one of them. I'm sure more will be coming out about this. Eventually, he killed one girl, took his own life, and police tried to aggressively end the situation. Here, the sheriff in Colorado explains why a SWAT team tried to take Morrison out after he had released four of the six girls.
It was then decided that a tactical solution needed to be done in an effort to save the two hostages that were in the room. Officers breached the classroom with explosives. Within seconds, the suspect shot at entering SWAT officers, then shot one of the two female hostages, and then shot himself.
Mm. Well, you've often said that very successful people live in their cars.
Yeah, I'm going to modify that just a little bit. Yeah, the homicidal maniacs and very successful people at one time live in their cars. So did he shoot the hostage intentionally because they broke in? Because, see, taking a hostage, I understand, but then shooting the hostage when the person breaks in is despicable before you kill yourself. At least the guy killed himself.
Yeah, that was the one good thing, but I think we're going to hear a lot of horrible allegations about the kind of sexual abuse that went on. It's apparently beyond, you know, what we've heard. It's a horrible story. And in celebrity news, as you may know, a celebrity photographer named Larry Burkhead has come forward to claim that he is the father of Anna Nicole Smith's newborn daughter. Mm-hmm. Now, this despite the fact that Anna Nicole's attorney, friend, etc., Howard K. Stern, has said that he is the baby's daddy. Now, Larry Burkhead insists that he is not backing down. Here he is.
He was a friend. He was her attorney. He's acts as her manager, her publicist, basically her gopher and things like that. He's more like, you know, he's never been on an intimate level with her. He's more like he sticks around in her house and more like kind of like Kato Kaelin in that sense.
You know what I've noticed? I hope this is taken in the spirit in which it's intended, but a lot of black guys spend a lot of time claiming that's not my kid, and Whitey, we spend a lot of time claiming that is my kid. I don't know. I think I'm going the brother's route on this one. If I were hooked up with Anna Nicole, I'd be claiming that's not my kid. I would be having press conferences explaining it's not my kid. I do think the NBA athlete has this one right. I don't agree with them on many things, but I would say that's not my kid. End of press conference, not this is my kid.
Well, there's even more.
I would modify it.
Yes.
Sure, I humped her a few times, but that is not my kid. Well, I think that's your best case scenario as far as press conferences go.
Sure. There are reports.
Meaningless sex.
Fine.
Wild, meaningless, after she got thin, sex, but that is not my kid.
Well, there are reports in In Touch magazine that Howard
A lot of boob play. A lot of boob, a lot of areola play. A lot of focus on the areolas. Not my kid. Thank you.
Reports
no
from
more questions, please.
Reports from In Touch
Unless
magazine
they involve boobs.
Are saying that Howard K. Stern and Anna Nicole Smith may have had some sort of wedding in the Bahamas. They don't have a formal marriage license, but they're saying they got married. And there are reports that the reason she had the baby in the Bahamas is because she wanted to avoid the paternity situation. So it is starting to look a little dicey.
They got married, they say, on a catamaran. Couldn't even afford a full boat. Out on one of those Hobie cats out there in the ocean. And in one of those bathing suit weddings. You know, the average marriage probably lasts 3.7 years anyway. Average wedding in a bikini, 10 minutes.
It does seem like the barefoot bikini weddings have a shorter duration. All right, Charlie Sheen is close to finalizing a new salary contract. This would make him the highest paid actor on television for starring in 2 and a Half Men. Reportedly, he would earn between $350,000 and $400,000 per episode.
I got it. You can't let this kind of, I don't know who leaks this kind of news, but do you understand what that's going to do to the hookers' prices now when they realize, look, you're getting $350,000, buddy, for what, 4 days worth of work? Come on. I need to wet my beak just a little
bit.
You
want me in that cheerleader outfit, it's going to cost you.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. You ain't a cab driver. Well, he deserves it. It's an excellent show.
It's true.
Although I've never seen a second of it, and I don't know a human being that would admit to watching it, but I'm sure it's a great show.
It seems to be this hugely rated show, but I don't know a single person that's ever watched 2 and a Half Men.
One day, I will get to the bottom of this and NASCAR.
Yes, dear.
And yes, dear.
According to Jim.
Right. I feel like I need to find all the folks that are going nuts for
wrestling
and Eva Longoria and all. I want to find these people and talk to them and find out what kind of drugs they're taking and where they live. Because I don't
get out of mom's house.
That's right, Big Tad. Wow. I don't know any of them except for Big Tad.
Well, Mr. T has got a new show. It's going to be on TV Land, and he was describing it to Conan O'Brien. He is very emphatic that it will be nothing like the Dr. Phil show.
All right. Let me explain. We're not eating worms. Nobody running around naked. No stupid stuff or nothing like that, you know.
No jibber-jabber.
Yeah, no jibber-jabber, you know. I tell you, you know, a lot of people talking about, they ask me, is it sort of like Dr. Phil? I said, no, I listened to people's story at first, you know, like Dr. Phil, but we're not like Dr. Phil, because Dr. Phil show people sit around crying, what's wrong with me, Dr. Phil? What's wrong with me? You a fool. That's what's wrong with you, you know.
Are you effing stupid?
Well, I pity the fool that goes on that show.
I know. Who would sit around on a show crying? That's so unprofessional. Okay, Tony Danza and his wife Tracy announced yesterday that after 20 years of marriage, they are getting a divorce. It's a sad story. They have two kids. I think he has a kid from a previous marriage. Tony Danza also has a grandson. And his syndicated talk show ended in May.
Well, so at least he can still sing.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. He's one of these guys who insisted on singing at some point in his career. Not sure why.
Yeah. Did he do that on his talk show?
I feel that there's a lot of celebrities that get talk shows so they can sing. When yes. I was a kid, I used to watch Mike Douglas, and I was like, why is the man with the big sideburns and the huge collar singing, Mommy? And she just said, shut up. Mommy's blowing spleef.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the box office this weekend.
Here's a book with no words. Just pop-up pictures. Go ahead and look at that, son, so that you can have a life digging ditches.
Words aren't important.
That's right.
The box office this weekend, quickly, the big movies are School for Scoundrel with Billy Bob Thornton, John Heder, who's Napoleon Dynamite, Michael Clark Duncan, also The Guardian with Ashton Kutcher. And Kevin Costner. It's a Coast Guard movie.
The movie seems like it's been out for 6 months now, The Guardian. I've seen commercials for that. They were hitting them hard and heavy 3-4 weeks ago.
It's true, but it's actually just opening this weekend. And also, the animated movie Open Season with Deborah Messing, Martin Lawrence, and Gary Sinise. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
The days dwindle down to precious few.
September song by Sinatra.
The old brown nose.
Wait.
Is that? Yeah, his
something
nickname
like
is Old
that.
Brown Nose, right?
I believe you're correct about that. Either way, this is a song that my mother used to sing to me to tease me that school was about to start. The days, to enjoy your summer days because school's about to start. No, it was taunting me.
Mo wouldn't taunt you.
However, I play the song in this case because the days do dwindle down to a precious few in the pennant chase. And things are looking pretty good for Southern California's two National League teams, the Padres and the Dodgers. Last night, the Phillies lost. The Padres won. The door was left open then for the Dodgers to go up 2 games on the Phillies in the wild card chase. They needed the win in Colorado, and somebody named James Loney delivered.
Kim set, ready, right-hander fires, and a drive to left and deep. Back goes Holiday, away back to the wall, gone! Grand slam home run by James Loney.
James Loney, called up from the minor leagues, tied Gil Hodges' centuries-old Dodger record, 9 RBIs in a game. So like I say, the Dodgers now go up to San Francisco. 2 games up, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. And let the record show, I predicted about 2 months ago that if the Dodgers merely get into the National League playoffs, they are going to go to the World Series.
Well, that would be fantastic. I sort of tuned out over the last few months. Are we still talking about the same season we were talking about when Rachel Perry was here? Same season or where it's another season?
That's the one.
Same one. Yep. Same season we start talking about
but now
Valentine's
it's
Day.
Good. 3 games to go, Ace.
But we're still, just for clarity, we're still talking about the same season, right?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And no victor has been chosen
Woo.
Yet.
There's
no,
another not season. Even close. Not even close.
There's huh. another season that's but 3 weeks old, but already, of course, we've got a season's, a career's worth of insanity out of T.O. Mm-hmm. However, no craziness to report on T.O. in the last 24 hours. Matter of fact, I got to give credit where credit's due. He was wearing a Sanford and Son. You big dummy t-shirt in the locker room. Yes, I like that. He made me crazy, but that's pretty cool. Anyway, I know it's the 11th hour and everything, but I'm going to go for this $10,000.
Mm. Really?
Right here and now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have him on the line. Terrell Owens. Hello, Terrell.
Hello, David.
Terrell?
T.O., what is going on?
It's going very well.
How's that? Are you feeling all right in the last, 48 hours and everything?
I'm feeling pretty good, yeah.
Dave.
Well, I've seen the, I've never met the man in person, but I've seen some of the press conferences. It doesn't sound like T.O.
Give me the 10 grand. It's T.O.
It's T.O.
Dave, this is Mike Lynch, the writer. It's pretty clear.
No, this is Terrell Owens.
Okay. All right. You know what? I like that, Teresa. You're on to my game. That's fine. That was just a little tester here. Mm-hmm. That was just a little tester. For the real big prize, here comes the 10 grand. Ladies and gentlemen, trailblazing tennis star, Billie Jean King.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Adam.
Oh.
Hey, Dave, I'm Billie Jean King, and I play tennis.
This is embarrassing.
I feel like you're making a mockery of my $10,000
This
offer.
Is very embarrassing.
Adam, I really need that $10,000. I bet heavy on the Steelers the last 2 weeks. It didn't work out. They're going to take my thumbs. They're going to take my thumbs!
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Maybe you'll get lucky and they'll take part of your nose as well. Teresa.
Yes.
Are we in the middle of Yom Kippur? Where are we?
We're in the middle of the days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's 10 days where you reassess your life and God decides whether you get to live again next year.
Mm. I feel I'm an atheist, but I'm most familiar with, I'd say, Christianity. And I feel like a lot of the folks around the world and their kooky religions have these ones that go span days and weeks and months, and they get a little confusing. You know, I would ask, it's the month of Ramadan, right. And like, well, when does that begin? Oh, it floats around. Well, how long does it go on? Well, sometimes, 3 weeks, other times, 3-4 months. I would ask that you guys nail it down to a day or two like we do. We're decent enough to go, look, this is Easter. Boom. This is Christmas. Boom. Oh, no, we don't have the month of Christmas where it takes place over 8 nights and what have you. And then it gets confusing where one bleeds into another. I mean, imagine this. Oh, well, what Easter does is Easter just bleeds into Christmas slowly. It's the whole month of Eastmas. No, we have Christmas. It's one day. We have Easter. It's another day. It's easy to figure out. It's always on a Sunday. Pow. Done. Just look, everyone has a kooky religion. I just want to be able to check things off on my calendar and figure out when it's okay to bomb you guys and when we got to hold back. So let's just go
this
ahead.
This is a bad time.
And if I was a country that was constantly being bombed, I would stretch Christmas out over 3 or 4 months, too.
Well, it's ironic because they did have the Yom Kippur War in Israel, which was like a 6 or 7 day war during the High Holy Days because it was a good time to bomb.
Right. So we're going from Yom Kippur into what? We bleeding into something?
We start with, just to really screw with your head, it's the year 5767 in Judaism.
Isn't that a Halen Elm or something? That's
yes.
A Van Halen Elm,
I think
right?
It is. We started with Rosh Hashanah, and now it's going to end, I believe, this weekend on Yom Kippur. That's the end of the 10-day days of awe.
Right. I just, again, one more time for everyone with the kooky religions. Other people who don't share your kooky thoughts about your kooky religion, and this includes everyone, we have about 4 seconds before we tune you out when you're explaining to us about your kooky religion. This is why, even though I've been here for 42 years, I have no idea how any of this stuff works. Even though we go through it every single year, you always tune it out because they start explaining how it bleeds into and how this then gives way to that. Just pick a day. We'll sign you a day for Yom Kippur. We got a couple we need.
Right.
But we got a lot of open dates on the calendar. We'll give you that date. Boom. That'll be your day.
Seems
It'll
fair.
Be easy for us to figure out. And then this time next year, I'll know where we're at.
Yes.
So when we come back, you will do some atoning for your sins?
I've got a few sins to atone for, and I'll see what I can do so that I can be inscribed in the Book of Life for next year.
All right. Brusket, get some Altoids in here so she can really do some atoning for her sins. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with that after this.
Shorter.
breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Maya Angelou with a poem about the Adam Carolla Show.
Teresa, if I could name your snatch, I would call it the cradle of civilization. I honor you and your womanosity. Carry on.
866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, in honor of Yom Kippur, which I'll tell you how much I know, I called it young, like a young in age. I always just called it Young Kipper. I had no idea what was going on with that wacky religion over there. I love the Jews. Don't get me wrong. They're good people. They're peaceful people. They take care of their own. As far as religions go, I got to go Buddhist, then Jew, probably on my...
Yes, well, I do both.
Right. Now, they're all nuts, and I understand why everyone hates each other, because, A, you have to be pretty nutty to engage in whatever your nutty religion is in the first place, and then, B, eventually, as I said, it's not enough just for you to root for your own team. It's not enough for you just to root for your God. You eventually want the other team to lose as well, and that's where the car bombings start. But in honor of Yom Kippur, and were you raised Jewish, Teresa?
Well, here's the funny thing. My parents are not religious at all. I'm more religious than my parents because I needed structure, and it appealed to me. Mm-hmm. But, I do it a la carte. Some things I take, some things I leave. I like Yom Kippur because basically, to make it simple, all it is a day where you apologize to everyone you screwed over that year, and you forgive everyone who screwed you over, and then you move on.
Oh, this could take a while.
Well, I'll make it quick.
First hour, Tracy Metro.
I'll make it quick. Firstly, Steve Agee, my ex, who we had on the show. I had no idea that it was going to be explosive. I said that he would weep after sex. And now he will not return my calls. He will not return calls from the show. And I asked him, I wrote him a note, is it okay? And he said yes.
I saw that. I was sitting here and he was sitting there, the mountain of a red-pubed man. My God. Surprised he didn't kill you. Point is I saw you handing him a note saying, is this okay that I bring this up? And he looked at it and went like, yeah, go ahead.
And then I think what happened was his friends and associates mocked him mercilessly after leaving the show. I didn't think it was a big deal to cry after sex. It's a big deal.
Every time?
Frequently.
Yeah. I mean, I understand if you're having sex with a deceased loved one. Sure, there are tears there. We've all been there. But a beautiful young Jewess like yourself, tears every time? No.
He was moved. Now,
yes, I understand Big Ben has a bad outing. The Steelers lose a game to Cincy. And Dave Damashek is weeping as he mounts his lovely bride, Cindy. But every time? I don't think so.
Now, I couldn't feel more horrible because my dad's on hold having to listen to sex stories about his daughter. So I'm going to apologize for that now. I couldn't be more uncomfortable. Uh-huh. It would be impossible unless I had Steve Agee in me right now. Okay. Oh, God, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm caught in a trap. Okay. Also, I want to apologize to Tad because I know I chime in with the fat jokes and I feel really guilty about it because I know he doesn't want to be fat and he's a really nice guy and I feel bad for all the fat jokes I've made, which isn't to say that I won't continue to make them.
Good news,
also, quickly, before I get to my dad, Jimmy Brusca, one time I called him a sea sucker behind his back. Mm. And although I would have done it to his face, I should not have done it behind his back. That was wrong, and I feel very badly.
Well, you say one time. If you put 5 zeros behind the one, you're at the station average. By the way, that's just what Jack Silver does on a weekend.
Well, everybody goes off on their boss once in a while, but it happened to be recorded. You may remember it.
Oh yeah.
Have a thankless job, but it's another thing with bus because it's suffering me every day.
I felt very badly about that. Okay, now getting to my dad. Now my dad is easily my favorite person in the world, and I'm the closest to him. I'm closer than anybody, and he's basically my sole source of unconditional love.
I essentially feel the same way about your dad. I'm not talking about my father.
But yes. I had an evil stepmother who I hated, and earlier in this year she died, and I wrote a piece, an award-winning piece, yes.
Yes.
But I said a lot of negative things about her.
Now, is this Nelson is your father's name?
Yes, Nelson is my dad.
Nelson?
Yes.
Good. First, how are you?
I'm a little under the weather, but basically okay.
I'm a big fan of your daughter's.
Me too.
Thanks, Dad.
The other one. But Teresa's doing a great job as well. Now, you have, what do you have? Do you have a brother,
yeah,
Teresa?
I have one older brother.
One older brother. So how do you feel about that? Because I feel when parents, and I come from a family that has two step parents as well, I feel like sometimes when the kid doesn't get along with the step parent, they're looking for the biological parent to intervene, to step up on their behalf. And that didn't happen in my case, and it didn't happen in Teresa's case either. Do you have guilt over that, Nelson?
Yeah, I do feel bad about that. I think Carol, the step monster, was, I think she treated Teresa horribly.
And then you must be torn now because she's departed, and you have feelings about grieving because this was the woman you were married to. On the other hand, you hear about the things she did to your daughter. How do you feel about it overall?
Oh my God. It's terrible to contemplate. I can't believe Teresa has forgiven me, but she has.
And you do take responsibility for it then?
Yes.
And what do you think you could have done differently? Or would you have done differently, knowing what you know now?
I think if I had it to do again, at the first sign that there was going to be a problem between the two of them,
mm-hmm,
I think I would have looked for somebody else and ended that relationship.
Well, did you see things along the way and ignore them, or is this something they always hid from you?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of it was hidden from me.
That's true.
And it happened, you know, over a long period of time, because at one time they did get along pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of, you know, I didn't see it for a while, and when I did, I don't know, for some reason I just was caught in between.
Yeah, I think they call it pee-whipped.
Yeah, they did.
Wait, Dad, you concurred?
That's what I knew, but I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, I have a spineless dad as well, so I know how this stuff works.
A person can be great and spineless at the same time.
Yeah, my dad's a nice guy, he just does not actually own a spine. Or if he does, it's in another part of his body.
Here's the thing. Dad, you would defend me now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's no question about that. I learned my lesson.
And, Teresa, did you ever speak to your father about your stepmother, Carol?
Yeah. I mean, I stopped seeing her when I was 17. We had a big blowout. And to my dad's credit, I said, Dad, I'm never seeing Carol again in my life. And if you want to see me, you'll have to see me without her. And so he drove the 2 hours from where he lived in Santa Rosa to San Francisco to take me to the movies. And then he would drive 2 hours back.
Hmm.
So he did go out of his way.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, I made sure we stayed. My relationship continued with Teresa.
Mm-hmm. And give us, Teresa, quickly a couple of examples of what the step monster Carol used to do to you.
Well, she told me not to wear my seatbelt. She insinuated that I was adopted. She told it's like Lycus.
It's insinuated. You're adopted.
Yeah, one time she said, I've got a secret. She had me in the car alone. She said, I've got a secret about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not old enough to hear it. And it haunted me for years. And I could only guess that it either I was molested or adopted, both of which I didn't think were true. Then she hid something and accused me of stealing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, actually set you up to take a fall.
Do you remember that, Dad, the bumblebee pin?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, when you found out about that, Nelson, didn't you realize you were with a lunatic?
I was there.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you were with a woman.
So uncomfortable. I don't want to kill myself.
It'd be good radio. I'll give you the $10,000.
Wait a second. Hold on. Dad, this is sweeps, and I am on the verge of tears. So if I kill myself, this would be a good day.
So listen, Admiral Nelson, she hides a bumblebee pin. You're aware of it, then tries to set up your daughter. Isn't that an indicator that she's not a sane person?
Well, it's complicated. She had been sexually abused by her father, Carol.
Carol was.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
No, not Teresa, Adam.
Right. No, I understand. I understand. Little diddling is not sexual abuse.
And I think she kind of freaked out.
Uh-huh.
Because we were close.
And I were real close.
I hate to say it, but the problem with people that were sexually abused, and this is why we need to harm the people that do it to them, this is why they need to be put to death, the the pain that they cause, the damage they cause, goes on for quite a bit of time, and they infect society. So what it is you take young Carol, she's 10 years old, you're her stepfather, you abuse her, and then she becomes an adult, then she goes out into society, and she abuses young Teresa. Now, men, we physically abuse. We actually, if you sexually abuse a young boy, he'll go out and sexually abuse the neighbor kid, who will then sexually abuse somebody when he gets older. And it's a horrible, horrible chain. But you can tell why she did this now. This is the reason why she was this person, and the reason why, unfortunately, you can't bring these people home.
No, there's no way. And they've never abused one kid.
Right, right. So,
and they can't be let out because they're not going to change.
And right. Dad, you work with you were a mechanic for 30 years, but now you work with Head Start kids, and I imagine you work with kids who have some troubles, right?
Oh yeah, and you oh man, when you see the family that they that the family mm-hmm. become the dynamics, and then you can directly see how it affects the kid, and it's ugh.
Nelson, changing topics here. What's it like to be the world's only Jewish mechanic?
Well, I actually had a battery and generator shop in Van Nuys for 8 years and then 26 years in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a disgrace.
Most Jews I know, you could hold a crescent wrench in one hand and a badger, a live badger in the other hand, and say, one of these is a tool, the other's an animal that burrows out in the woods. Or which, well, there'd be confusion, and then half of them would get it wrong. Nelson?
Yeah.
It's nice to see that you and Teresa have patched things up, though.
Oh, man. She's the greatest. I'll tell you. I hope your daughter grows up to be like my daughter, because, you know, it goes both ways. If either of us are having a breakup or some kind of emotional difficulty, we're the first person the other calls. That's
really? Yeah. All right. Well, I hope she grows up just like Teresa as well, but I'll start saving right now for the nose job, just in case that actually happens. Or you meant spiritually, I'm guessing. Oh, you're right. That was stupid. All right, Nelson.
Dad, I'm very sorry for any mean things I said about Carol this year.
That's all right.
So you forgive her for writing a scathing article about the woman you were once married to?
Well, it's the other way. I was the adult. I mean, I'm the one that has to ask her forgiveness. Mm. And I have, and she's given it, so.
Okay. All right, and what are you doing now? You're going. What's
Friday's my late day, so I'm just laying in bed nursing this cold. And
mm-hmm. He works with the little kids at Head Start.
That's sweet. All right, Nelson, we forgive you for ruining your daughter's life. But I must say, the people, your dad, and this goes for everybody out there with a nutty daughter, the dad needs to apologize, not to the daughter, but to all the men who date the daughter. All the men who get screamed at because they spent 2 extra minutes at a bagel shop.
Oh, so true.
All the men who get outed on the air for bawling like babies on a radio show. These are where the apologies need to go. It's not to the daughter. It's to the men.
Dad, are you still there?
No.
All right. Well, love you, Dad. Take care. I hope you feel better.
We cool?
Yes.
All right. You've purged?
Oh, do I have anyone else? No, I think that's it. I think I have all my Yom Kippur apologies out of the way for this year.
Good times.
We need to take ourselves a break. We're going to go back and revisit because today's the big day. We're giving out $10,000. $10,000 of my money. Yes, Bruskett.
Quickly, Steve Agee's on the line. Let's talk to him quickly.
Can we have my dad apologize to him?
Line 10.
Yeah, we should work that out. Nelson, are you still there?
He's gone.
I don't know if Nelson hung up. Steve Agee, the red-pubed, bawling giant, is on the phone. Steve?
Hey, what's up?
Steve, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was a big deal. Forgive me.
What?
Steve.
I can't hear you over the crying.
Steve, you...
That is so not true.
You dated... Now, hold on a second. You dated Teresa for a number of months.
Yeah.
She brought you on when we were doing Teresa's ex's...
X-Files.
Yeah, that was a wonderful day.
She handed you a note at some point because I saw it saying, is it okay to do this? I couldn't read what was on the note, but you nodded okay. Seemed a little confused at first, and then you said okay. And then she mentioned you bawled like a baby after making sweet love to her each and every time.
Not true.
But now, she says you sobbed, too, not just...
I, I have someone laying here right next to me who can say that.
All right, put Cousin Sal on the phone.
Does she have an Altoid?
I wish you weren't a liar. I just wish you weren't a liar.
Turned out later somebody called in, said they met Steve on the internet. He went over there, started dry humping her a little, and then got lightheaded because he hadn't carb loaded and had to leave after eating a space bar.
I'm so glad I called that.
Steve, we got to go to break, but Teresa says she's sorry. She
wait a second. AG is making a case that this is a lie, that he says this is not true.
All right. We don't have time. 20 minutes.
Yes,
he said she said.
Rusty, you told me to put him on the phone 10 seconds ago.
Listen, we got it. If he says it's a lie, will you submit yourself to a lie detector test?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the bottom of it. And I would like to talk to the person that's next to you in bed for one moment and find out if you wept last night.
Hold on. Karen. Adam wants to talk.
Adam Dennis.
This is classy.
Karen?
Hello?
Is your name Karen?
Yes.
Did you make love to the giant known as Steve Agee?
Yes.
And did you?
I'm crying over.
You sound like a class act, Karen.
Oh, I hope my dad
hold
is
on. Hold on.
She said,
giant and never stops falling and never stops grinding. Steve Agee's on the phone, everybody. Quit your grin and drop your linen and help yourself to a wet nap when Agee comes to town. He's crying. I'll tell you, these ladies will be crying if you don't stuff a little something in the G-string. Show me appreciate him, Jazz. Amber, stage 4.
What?
So to review, this Karen, who was just on the phone,
yes,
said that Steve Agee did not weep, but he did leave his manly product on her person somewhere.
And we should review that he is easily a 350-pound man.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Dios mío.
We need to take a break. Let's,
this is the best Yom Kippur ever.
Let's get him, let's get him set up with a lie detector, because I believe Teresa. Why would she make this up? Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of this. Henry Winkler coming in. Coming in the studio. Also, a little recap on Outbook August. $10,000 of my money. My money. My money. $10,000 at the end of the show today will be awarded. Still a couple hours. You want to get your big celeb in here to call in. We'll do a little review, see who the front runners are after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where today someone's going to walk away with $10,000.
10 grand is going to the person that gets us the best guest.
Mike August is the name of the guy who books our talent.
Beat him and you'll win 10 grand.
Bring them on.
Outbook August in September. Willie Nelson.
Some years back, you gave me a tour of your tour bus, and it smelled like bong water.
Oh, yeah.
Howard Stern.
Adam, Jimmy told me you're the worst father. Like, you tune out the kids and the wife.
Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, we were doing a photo shoot the other day, and I accidentally stabbed him.
You accidentally stabbed Steve-O?
Yeah.
Who's it going to be? Stick around to find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Again, we're about 2 hours and 7 minutes away from the polls closing. You have 2 hours and 7 minutes to cast your celebrity vote, and then the polls close, and then I cut a check for $10,000. Could it be Mike August? Could it be Big Tad? Let's listen to a clip of the front runner so far. I think we'll start with Stern. Howard Stern called in when we were in New York. I believe it was on Monday of this week, and we did a little simulcasting. Now, I've not spoken to him in a number of months, and nobody has spoken to him on the air in probably some years now. So let's hear that.
Howard, good to speak to you.
Good speaking to you, too. Adam's
What's
got
that?
Sound effects.
Sound effect. Oh.
Already making fun of the show. 4 seconds in, Howard.
Adam, seriously, we haven't talked in a while, and congratulations on your twins. And I don't mean he went to bed with
Thank
two girls
you.
At the same time.
I was just saying, finally banged twins.
Speaking of twins, I miss Robin. Robin, how are you?
I sent a gift to Adam. And then Jimmy Kimmel comes to my house, and I said to Jimmy, I sent Adam like a, you know, pretty nice baby gift.
And you heard nothing.
I didn't even get like a thank you.
To be fair to me, if you people got a couple of outfits and it said from Howard Stern, would you think it was from the actual Howard Stern?
Jimmy told me you're the worst father. Like,
listen, he simultaneously calls me an abusive father and an absentee father. Which is it? I can't be beating my kids from Florida while I'm banging strippers.
Quick, what are their names?
Hold on, I got a laminate in my wallet. I know Howard got a little PO'd at me once because we were talking about doing satellite radio, and I said to him, how much? And he said, you're an artist, sir. How dare you ask how much from the guy? Guy's making $500 million a year. I'm asking.
Left for you.
That's what I said, how much? And he's like, whoa, wow, it's about money? Whoa.
Well, no, I'm never pissed off at you. You're a friend, and I wish you the best of luck. And the idea that you're there doing the show is something that comforts me. I'm sure the show is in good hands.
Well, there you go.
That was great.
Yeah, Howard was great. We did talk to him for over 15 minutes, I believe. And he got a few plugs in for his radio show, but I understand that's how the business works. But he was certainly magnanimous and friendly and cordial on the air. And didn't have the Howard Stern vitriol that he delivers to a lot of other folks that do radio. So that was certainly a coup, and that was Big Tad. And as I've said earlier this week, that's Big Tad when you offer him $10,000. That's what Big Tad can do. Imagine what you people could do if you had incentive. Big Tad, who normally sits around and just checks his fantasy football team on his laptop, was all of a sudden booking Howard Stern, a guy who nobody could reach before this. That's what Big Tad can do for $10,000. That's why our system works the way it works and why communism doesn't work. Sorry, Big Tad. Sit down.
It's like a commission-based sale.
That's right. It motivates people. So we had that. We also had Willie Nelson. A listener booked Willie Nelson. Should we hear a clip of that? Yeah. Willie?
Hello there.
Some years back, you did a show called Loveline that I was hosting, and you gave me a generous tour of your tour bus.
Right.
And it smelled like bong water.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still smoking the spleef?
Oh, if you got one?
If you ever run out of pot, just smoke the mattress that's in your tour bus. Believe me, it's been soaked with enough THC to catch a nice buzz over the years.
Yeah, I really don't have to smoke anything. I'll just lay back here and breathe.
That's right. Willie Nelson, everybody. And he was busted a few days later on the same tour bus for having weed.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think that, you know, for instance, if we got Terrell Owens on the phone right now, now he's in the news, so that would be a significant thing, even more than regular getting Terrell Owens. The fact that Willie Nelson was busted a couple days after he's talking the weed with you, does this raise his profile as far as this contest goes, or irrelevant?
It may factor in a little bit, but the person who booked him before he got busted, so I'm not sure how they could get credit for that, but it is a tough call, and yes, in the news, somebody who you formerly didn't care about, who, you know, look, OJ, if you could have interviewed OJ before he killed his old lady, that's no big booking. If you talked to OJ a few days after the slow speed chase, well, that's a monumental booking. So it depends. Yes, timing is a factor.
But we're going to say this is moot in this case because it was before the arrest.
I don't think Willie Nelson, he called in, he had an agenda. He wanted to talk about eating horses, getting stoned and eating horses. He didn't like us killing wild horses and sending them abroad, whatever it is. He had an agenda that didn't help his cause. Whereas Johnny Knoxville, not only did Johnny Knoxville come into the studio, but he hung out, played along with us, and actually put a guy he's never met before, Dork, in a mousetrap.
He played
and
ball.
Let it fly.
He played ball. With ball.
Yes. Do we have the clip of Knoxville?
Yeah. Computer froze.
Ah, okay.
Stone Fury could do
all
that.
All right. So get your balls out, and let's put your balls in a mousetrap.
Show them. Show them, Perry.
Your balls in a mousetrap.
Perry's actually sidling up to Johnny Knoxville, who is holding a mousetrap, and not one of the sticky traps.
No. This is an actual mousetrap. Yeah. I mean, let's get the balls out. Wow, you have a little penis. It looks like an egg in a nest. Okay, you ready? Put them on here.
All right. He's putting his scrotum sack onto the mousetrap.
Move your hand.
Oh,
move your hand.
Lord.
Ah! Okay, you gotta do the other one. Do the other one.
No.
Put your penis.
Where's my $10 million contract?
Perry, just be professional. Just be professional.
This is an audition.
You're late today. No, your penis, not your balls.
Put your penis
okay,
in
okay.
there.
Okay, put your drop your penis on there. Drop it on there. Move your hand.
Oh,
move your
my
hand.
Lord.
Oh. Oh wow.
Well, he did it.
Jackass too.
I'm
well,
sorry.
I didn't scream when I had mine done.
That's true.
So,
you are a pro. So glad to see Henry Winkler walking into the next room right as the guy's getting his nutsack thrown in a mousetrap.
Timing couldn't have been better.
This is good radio. All right, so we'll talk to Henry in a moment. Also, I'm interested in what you guys have to say about it, not you guys in the studio, but you guys at home, 866-901-ADAM. Who do you cast your vote for? Again, Stern seems like an easy decision. On the other hand, you just heard Knoxville coming in here, number one movie of the week. He's coming in here and he's working. He's working for his money.
So are we agreeing? So it seems that it's come down to pretty much Knoxville versus Stern. Am I right about that?
I think so, unless somebody pops up in the next 2 hours. Beth?
Yes?
Beth is one of the wonderful salespeople over at 103.7 Free FM in San Diego. We talked to a drunken version of Beth. We spoke to her for quite some time when we were out there a few weeks ago. She told me 1,600 times she would get Will Ferrell on the show and collect that $10,000. Beth?
That number keeps growing.
You have. Well, one number that doesn't grow is the 2 hours you have left to get Will Ferrell on here. Now, I know you went to high school with him, so you guys are practically married.
Exactly.
You and the other 4,000 people that went to the high school with you guys. But have you contacted Will?
I have gone through every avenue that I can think of.
But you guys went to high school together, as you told me 33,000 times.
Strategery.
On a Friday night when we were there.
I know. We're best friends.
All I'm saying is you stole a chunk of my life, and I want it back.
Well, I've been trying.
I want you to come out to Los Angeles, and I want to tell you about something that I'm never going to do, and I want to tell you over and over and over again. I want you to come to my house. I'm going to give you a beer. I'm going to drink a 12-pack, and then I'm going to explain to you how I'm going to be the first pirate astronaut, and I will not stop for 45 minutes. And then, Beth, I'm going to have you go mingle somewhere else in the living room, all right? And then I'm going to run into you again, and I'm going to continue telling you about my plan to be a pirate astronaut. And then I'll have a few more beers, and I'll see you a little bit later on in the den, and I'm going to keep going. And then we'll be even.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
And then when you ask me, how do you think you're going to become the first pirate astronaut? I'm going to say, I went to high school with a guy who wanted to be a pirate astronaut, and then I'll talk a little more about it.
Sounds fun.
You owe me an apology, and you owe me at least an hour of your time.
It
now,
is
how
Yom
are we
going to
fix this?
I'll give you an hour of my time.
Okay. Huh. All right, because this is I'm gonna need it back because I do feel like life gets stolen by drunken people who tell you about things they're never going to do, and I want my life back.
Yeah, Beth, you actually cornered me for a few minutes there after 17 or 18 Miller Lights with the Will Ferrell thing.
How dare you!
So what was your plan? I know you had a nice buzz going, Beth, but really, have you seen Will Ferrell since high school, and did he know you in high school?
Yes and yes. So he was at our 10-year reunion.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a dance with one of my best friends.
Oh, you
I wish you weren't a liar.
Practically engaged.
I know.
Went to dance with one of your friends.
I just wish you weren't a liar.
Can't believe he's not returning your calls.
I was very surprised, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, these big stars probably sitting on a pile of cocaine right now, just banging hookers. Maybe one of your friends could be in that mix. So you called who? Called the principal or the janitor? Who do you start? Who's the first call you make when you went to high school with someone 20 years ago?
Well, I talked to a couple of friends, but didn't necessarily want to put them in the position of outing him. And I did talk to his publicist, Matt LeBove. And as of Wednesday morning, had said, Will's not available.
And didn't you tell Matt you went to high school with him, like you told me 13,000 times?
I did it about 22,000 times. 22,
and what? I can't believe he didn't hop right to it. Oh, my goodness. This is different. Slide down the bat pole, the high school pole, and pick up that red phone that glows.
Well, you know.
All right, Beth. So I'm going to need you to come by, and I'm going to need to tell you about something I'm never going to do for an hour, all right?
All right.
All right, baby doll.
Thanks.
Well, look, everyone says, oh, you're tough on this person. You're tough on this. Screw them. I spent all Friday night talking to her about something that would never happen. That's all. Look, people, when you get drunk, just realize you're drunk and shut your mouth, please. You may open it to consume more booze, but then close it. Here's the thing. Booze can enter. Words can't escape.
I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a celebrity we do have. Henry Winkler. Nicest man in show business. And the most talented. And the best endowed as well.
I've heard that.
Should we take a call, Bruskett, or should we just bring Henry in here? We got a couple people voting. Everyone says Stern. Ooh, someone says Knoxville, Stern. Let's see. Let's just try quickly. Dominic?
Yeah, hey. I got to go with Stern because not only did he just book Howard Stern, he booked the entire Howard Stern radio show.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. And I know how you said you can't add them all up, but when you put them together as one entity like that, you got Robin, Artie, Fred, Howard. And it was a really great give-and-take interview between you guys. I enjoyed every second of it.
I thought you
held your own against the so-called great Howard Stern.
Well, I've sparred many rounds with the champ, so I had that going for me. I was reading our message board at some point, and there was somebody that said, well, you could tell Adam was nervous during the interview. And I thought,
I thought
there's a lot of that in society where you would feel nervous if you were talking to Howard Stern, so you then transpose that onto me. Yes, I was shaking like a leaf speaking to him for 17 minutes and making fun of him.
I think this caller has a good point, because Tad did book the entire show. It was a simulcast, and you were great on it.
Thank you, sweetie P. Heather?
Yeah, right here.
You say Knoxville's better.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, I liked him. I mean, since I've been watching Jackass a lot, I mean, he's a great guy, and, you know, I wish girls could be part of it, you know, to make a comment on one of the segments on your earlier show. You know, you said girls don't do a lot of trouble, and that's wrong, because, you know, I was growing up, I did a lot of trouble, so, I mean, it's good to see that he's making a living out of it.
Heather?
Yeah.
I need you to stand under the smoke detector right now, if you will. You have a smoke detector in your apartment?
In my house, it's disabled.
It's disabled, but yet I heard it chirping a moment ago.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Well, can you stand under it or just stand where you were?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Now, I swear I heard that smoke detector.
How's that possible?
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to know, you want to talk about possibilities, when I used to do Loveline, I would say, is that a smoke detector I hear in the background? And they'd say, no. I'd say, you sure? I swore I heard something. No. Then we'd hear it. And I'd say, well, that was it. Did you just hear that? And they'd go, oh, yeah, the smoke detector? Didn't even know it when I was pointing it out to him. You have to tune things out, I guess. Heather.
Yes.
Do you have a smoke detector in your home?
Yes, I do.
Are you standing underneath it?
Yes, right where you told me.
Okay. So let's continue.
Okay.
You're voting for Knoxville because you like Knoxville. He's a good guy, and he came in here and played ball, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'll say this. In the last, if we're looking at the calendar year 2006, who's the bigger star right now? Probably Johnny Knoxville, as far as people who have been exposed to his work versus Stern's. Yes? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that? I mean, how many people saw the picture, saw Jackass in the past 2 weeks?
29 million bucks it made. It was number one, and it bested number two by three times the dollar amount. So that's pretty good. And
a case can be made.
He was in here 2 days after that or so. Hey, Heather?
Yeah.
Are you doing drugs?
No, not right now.
Something's up, though, right?
Hey, Heather said, you said you're like the Jackass. You're like chill ass. You like to hurt yourself?
Well, I don't like to hurt myself. I mean, you know, growing up, we did a lot of pranks. And so, I mean, it's good to see that it's gotten, you know, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone's making a living out of it, you know.
Do you do a little speed, Heather, on occasion?
Never.
Never. What is your drug of choice?
Marijuana.
And why is your smoke detector disabled?
Right in, like, an alcove on, like, above my fish tank.
Right. Not where is it disabled. Why is it disabled?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know. Is there a woman alive who will climb up on a ladder and change a battery? I know my wife won't. Is there some sort of gene problem? Is there an inner ear problem that women have that prevent them from climbing on ladders and changing light bulbs and fixing batteries and things like that?
No, there's no problem. I mean, it's just I haven't got around to it. I mean,
but how long
have you lived? I'll get around to it.
How long have you lived at that house?
Almost 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
And how long does the battery last? 6 months?
I haven't been disabled for 3 years. I mean, I just recently disabled like 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
No. I live with my family, so.
You're living at home?
Yeah.
I swear I heard the chirp again. Is that your foot?
No, birds. Birds, man. I got birds.
You have birds.
That's probably what you're hearing. Well,
put the bird on the phone. I want to talk to someone intelligent.
All right. Come here, Heidi. All right.
Heather, how old are you?
21.
I see it says college on the thing. I'm going to go out on a limb and predict junior college. Yeah. Hey, everybody, the bird lady from Alcatraz is on stage. Look at that. Yeah, why don't you put a little seed in her hopper?
And I just want to say it's so good talking to you, man.
Thanks, Heather. Junior college, though?
Community college.
Okay, junior college. Community college is to junior college what sanitation technician is to garbage man. It softens the blow a little bit. We know you're a garbage man. Just call yourself a garbage man. I'm going to community college. Yeah, community of idiots. Community of dunces who couldn't cut it in their community of high school. It's junior college, and when I'm in charge, I will add a second junior to make it that much more demeaning. I will rip down the sign and put junior college in front of every junior college just to humiliate those who think they can go there. They think they go there like an Indian goes to the mountain to die. It's a scholastic burial ground for folks that don't want to study. I will toss my kid out on his ass if he wants to go to junior college. Henry Winkler is here. He didn't go to junior college. We'll speak to him right after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show.
What is going on here?
It's the Fonz.
Whoa.
Henry Winkler.
When you're this cool, they're out to get you.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey. Great to see you, Henry.
Adam, what a pleasure.
I must say...
I didn't realize that, listening to Teresa, I had no idea that she was this gorgeous.
Yeah. Aww, she sounds like a pig on the radio. She's a solid six in person.
She's very
I agree.
Articulate, but I just wanted to
she
say
she is
that.
Attractive lady.
Thank you.
But I have to say that, boy, it's a good thing I never got to meet her stepmom.
Yeah. Evil.
I'd have to talk to her.
Henry, speaking of compliments, I block out most compliments or at least forget them shortly thereafter. But Henry Winkler, very early in my career, paid me a compliment that I'll never forget. We were at some sort of K-Rock Acoustic Christmas, I think it was.
That's right.
At a K-Rock concert. And he actually sought out Mr. Burcham, the character I used to do. And that somebody said, Henry Winkler wants to meet you. And I was about 10 minutes out of swinging a hammer for a living. Henry Winkler, this guy I grew up watching on TV, and I met him, and he paid me a very sincere compliment, and I never forgot
it. You were unbelievably funny. Not that you're not now, but when I was listening to you, because I would drive my children to school, we would listen. Mm-hmm. You were unbelievably great as that character.
Well.
Will you ever bring back that character for this show?
Well, maybe we'll dust it off and do it on this show, because it seems like that's what the kids want. We'll give them what they
want.
But
you're also funny.
Thanks, Henry. Henry, as we'd spoken about earlier in the morning, nicest guy in Hollywood, has the reputation. And let me ask this.
Go ahead.
Do you feel like you have to live up to it because...
No, because I was thinking that after Yom Kippur, I was going to completely take a left.
It got bleeped out, but He called me an a-hole, for those of you who can do the math.
You have a couple days left to atone for having done that.
Well, yes. I will say, I used to hang out with people, and we'd go out to a restaurant, and you'd leave the person a decent tip, maybe 20, maybe 25%, and the person I was with used to say, no, you got to leave them a huge tip, because people recognize you from television, and they got, the word must get around that you're a huge tipper, and I would say, I don't want the word to get around that I'm a huge tipper, because then, if you give the bellman $20, he's just disappointed. If Sinatra gives the bellman $20, he's pissed off because he's Sinatra. Oh, a lot of pressure on being a nice guy as well.
No, it's not true.
No.
You can't live up to that. You know, you just do what you do and you treat people the way that you do. You know, to spend your life living up to an image,
mm-hmm.
you're wasting your entire lifetime.
So you don't feel any pressure to be nice.
I don't.
Well, Henry, I'm curious.
I enjoy being alive. I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy that people like what I do with my life.
You're not bitter about it.
I'm not at all.
I feel.
Why would I be bitter?
I don't know. I feel a lot of people. Well, you shouldn't be because you've moved on with your career. A lot of people did characters that they're still associated with from the 70s, and they're angry about it.
Well, listen, I still get that typecasting. I'm still not, asked to do things because they remember me as the Fonz. But it's your job to work through that, to eat through brick to mm-hmm. get to the other side.
Yeah, I always say Johnny Depp was able to get over 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, he sure did.
Can't say the same for Bob Denver. Sorry, little buddy. Anyway, Henry, a couple questions, and then I want to ask you about Knoxville and Stern, but I want to know about your journey. I'm interested in where you're born, how you got started, what brought you out to Hollywood, if in fact you came here or were born here.
Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Short German Jews.
Mm-hmm.
My father wanted me to take over a lumber business, you know, that he brought here from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, "Why do you think I bought a business over here?" I said, "Besides being chased by the Nazis, Dad, is that like a bigger reason than that?"
So your dad fled Nazi Germany?
Yes, with my mother.
And he opened a business, and was he successful?
He always lived above his means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which then created a really idiosyncratic relationship with money that I have.
Right.
You know.
So on one hand, you're a spender. On the other hand, you're
nervous.
I married a spender, but I am not.
You're very conservative.
I'm a conservative.
Well, it's one of those things, too, I think, where people who are born during the Depression or who lived through the Depression still feel that way, even though they have plenty of moolah.
Yes. The soap that we used growing up, my mother always took from hotels.
Nice.
When we traveled around the world.
At least you traveled.
Sure.
So the, because the soap we had, my mom took from campsites. But the point is you then came out to Hollywood at what age?
I did. I was 27. I had enough money that I made from doing commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I was here for a month. And at the end of the month, I got Happy Days.
Whoa.
So you'd just been in town for 4 weeks,
yes,
essentially.
That is true.
And what did you do to make the money? Made the money from commercials? Ever have civilian jobs?
I was a travel agent.
Oh, really?
But because of commercials, and I was able to, be successful doing that, I never had to be a waiter. I never had to do anything. I could always do plays for free at night.
Mm-hmm.
We did The Lords of Flatbush with Sly.
Sure. Mm.
And you're a classically trained actor. You have some training, right?
I have a master's degree from Yale.
Wow.
Left that school. Out.
Yeah. So you went from, I be wearing a Yale sweater if I graduate from Yale, I'd be using one of the megaphones that the cheer team uses.
Sure.
I'd be walking around to Yale on screaming into it. Right. So you graduate Yale.
Right.
You get a few gigs
and
doing commercial work.
I went to Emerson
work.
College before that.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson is in Boston, a small school that is now becoming one of the great small colleges in America.
So you get your education.
Yes.
You come out here. You hit Happy Days.
Right.
Happy Days runs for
11 years.
11 seasons. So now you're 38 or so.
Right.
And then what happens right after Happy Days?
I hit a wall in two ways. One is I have lost direction.
Mm-hmm.
I have, until this moment, I have known exactly what I wanted, and I have focused myself,
mm-hmm.
and now I have no idea. The desire to act is dripping out my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I am rudderless, and it is a horrible feeling. My lawyer...
Except for you're sitting on a huge pile of money.
Yeah, but when you have a daughter with a credit card,
yeah.
you kiss that money goodbye.
I'm just saying... I've had no rudder for much of my life.
Is
but
that true?
No money and no rudder is miserable. No rudder,
but
tons of cash, not bad.
But you're willing to give $10,000 of your own money away.
That's right.
That's
fantastic. I think, though, the difficult thing is probably losing not just the rudder, but the structure. Every day you knew where you were going, what
structure
you were doing.
Structure is really important.
But you do go on to make one of the great comedies of the last 25 years or so, Night Shift. Michael Keaton.
Forgot about Night Shift. I love that
picture.
Movie.
Ron Howard said you could choose either role, And
Really?
Yeah, and I had already done the Fonz, so I thought Billy Blaze was, you know, kind of like a, so
Fonz-esque.
I'd play Richie.
You go against type.
Yeah. So then I played Chuck.
Now, what? How many years or how much time from the time Happy Days ended to the time you started Night Shift?
Oh, I was doing Night Shift at exactly the same time I was doing Happy Days. So I would shoot that during the day, and I would mm-hmm. come in and do the last part of the rehearsal in the afternoon.
Yeah, that movie, it gets its due from people that have seen it, but it also flies under the radar just a little bit when people talk about their comedies they've liked. They talk about Blazing Saddles or what have you. That movie made it just a little under the radar, but everybody I know who's seen it loves that movie, and then quotes that movie as well.
Well, it was written by the, you know, Lowell Gans and Babalu Mandel, who then went on to do Splash and City Slickers and Parenthood and every great
Parenthood, another really funny, really strong movie that doesn't seem to get its due. Maybe people think it's too much of a drama, or now would be called a dramedy. But I saw that the other week, and it holds up nicely.
It's unbelievable.
Henry Winkler is also an author, has a Hank the Zipper series. These are children's books, right?
Yeah, there are now 10 of them in the store. Hank Zipser, the world's greatest underachiever. And it's my life as a dyslexic in school.
How were you able to achieve what you did scholastically and have a learning disability? You know, this is back in the 30s, too. So
yes, it is.
It's a different time.
And not only that, but at that time, you know, there was only bread and water.
Sure.
And the thing is that what I tell children when I go and talk at schools, because we learn differently does not mean that you will not achieve greatness. Mm-hmm. Because you don't do well in school, that has no reflection on what you're going to be when you meet your destiny. And that's very important for children to know.
I've downgraded greatness to goodness. I say to people, goodness. I don't like the pressure of greatness.
I
don't like
mediocrity.
The idea of everyone being great.
Just if you're going to achieve mediocrity, you can do
it. No, but there are so many people I have met who are dyslexic. One out of five children have some sort of learning challenge. And they have achieved such wonderful things, you know, in their creative brain. I met a doctor in New York who couldn't get into medical school, and he now does surgery in the uterus on the fetus.
Oh, know, really?
Before they're born. Uh-huh. There are so many wonderful people out there, and this country does not yet completely embrace that some children learn differently.
Right. That we're way behind the Middle East when it comes to that.
Yes.
I'm not sure what other countries you're talking about, but I'm sure you mean the Middle East.
I'm sure.
Henry, can we pick your brain for a second there as far as outbooking August and September?
Just be soft.
You heard us talking about Johnny Knoxville, Howard Stern. I got $10,000 to give away in a couple hours.
Right.
What do you think? You've been in this town for a while.
Well, you know, If you're going to give $10,000, just the sheer volume of time, of humor, of outrageousness, of fan base, mm-hmm. I would have to go with Howard.
You go Howard.
I would have to go with Howard. First of all, I actually was on his show.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody warned me not to do the show. And he could not have been more gracious.
Really?
I'm sure he's a fan. I mean, the thing about guys like Howard, and a lot of guys in general, they can be your best friend or your worst enemy. They love you or they hate you. They hate 99% of the people they know. But if you make it into that 1%, we may be in that club, then you're in great shape. Somebody's on the phone says that Henry should be number one. Dan?
Yes. Hello, Adam.
You say Henry Winkler should be number one.
You know, I'll tell you what he just said about Howard. You know, fan base is one thing, but personality is another. And, you know, I basically grew up watching him, you know, from Happy Days, and then grew up myself and then watched him on movies, and then now having the opportunity to listen to him on the radio. What a class act this guy is.
Hey, I could walk out of here with $10,000.
Well, I will say this, Dan. If you can convince Henry Winkler to put a scrotum in a mousetrap, he will definitely win that money.
Oh, is that what I have to do?
Yeah, unfortunately. Wait.
You want me to put my scrotum in a mousetrap?
Yes.
For $10,000?
Well, you wouldn't receive the money, but yes.
Okay. Can I just say it? I definitively, right now, today, yes. at 8, 10, and 15 seconds, absolutely not.
Oh.
Is that a stupid idea?
And here's the thing. Henry Winkler, if he did win, would probably donate the money to some charity for kids 5 minutes later.
Lame.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, then don't give it to him.
That's a good guy. Yeah.
Learning curve.
All right, Dan, you've made your point.
Thank you very much, though.
Dan, if you had another vote to cast, would it be for Knoxville or Stern?
Henry Winkler.
Oh, wow. I like Dan, that. Diehard fan. Wow. We need to take a break. Henry, can you hang out for one more?
Can we just talk about Dan for a minute and the good taste he's shown?
I enjoyed him.
He's a delight.
I bet you he's handsome.
Should we ask him? He drives a truck, so you know he's good looking.
Yeah.
Dan?
Yes, sir.
I imagine you're morbidly obese like most truck drivers.
Oh, come on. Give me a break here.
How much do you weigh?
105.
100 what?
195.
Oh,
195.
How tall?
Oh, my God. The man is fit.
He might be 5'2". How tall is he?
Who said that?
That was Henry Winkler.
All right, buddy. We'll see you on down the road.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dan.
Take a quick break. Henry Winkler in studio. My Dog's a Scary Cat, A Halloween Tale, name of the latest book in the Hank Zipper series. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Henry after this.
Yay!
More of the Adam Carolla Show coming up.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Hey, Ren, I'm listening to Adam Carolla and I'm learning everything about comedy. Will you shut up, you fat, bloated pig?
It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This employee has been a model of efficiency and dedication, devoting countless hours to the show and contributing above and beyond that of other staffers. This week's employee has sacrificed personal time and given the show 100% of their attention. This person can juggle multiple tasks and yet still get all their work done in a timely and exemplary manner. This week's Employee of the Week is Adam Carolla.
Thank you.
You voted for yourself, I assume?
I wrote it.
Nice, I figured.
Forget about voting. Wow.
Mazel tov to you.
Thank you.
No, that's fantastic.
Thank
that
you, Henry. Henry Winkler in studio.
What's the show called?
Mark and Brian. Hank Zipser.
Yes.
The world's greatest underachiever. The books are out. You can go to HankZipser.com if you want to get more information on Henry's book. Someone is calling in, says he has a great question for Henry. Jason?
Yeah.
What's your question?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, well, my question is, I saw this thing on Harry Winkler a while ago, probably like a year ago or so, and it was about his casting to go for the Happy Days show, and they had asked him to kind of go up to this mirror. They had, I don't know if they had a set up there of the bathroom or whatever, but they had him go up and, you know, do his hair or just show some form of personality for his character. And he had said, or they had said, that he went up to do his hair, and that patent move that we all love and know of him not needing to do his hair, he totally brought it onto the table himself. And I want to know if that was totally the truth and how that made that guy feel. That must have been cool.
That is true. Now, when I first got the role, I had 6 lines. Mm-hmm. So I went to do the pilot of Happy Days, and the director said, you have to go to the mirror and comb your hair. And I said, no, sir. I've promised myself I will never comb my hair because every actor that has ever done this kind of role mm-hmm. has combed their hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, you must. It's written. You have to do this.
Sure.
So I walked to the mirror. I brought out my comb. I put it up, and I went, whoa, I don't have to because look at that. It's perfect. And that's how that moment became. I wanted to be true to myself, but not rude to the director and producers.
What do you think of the whole jump the shark
thing? Oh, it's fantastic.
You like that?
I am the only actor in America, in probably the world, who has jumped the shark twice.
Wow.
What was your second jumping of the
Arrested
shark?
Arrested Development. They put a shark on the dock in front of me when we did a scene with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett. and Tony Hale, and then I jumped over the shark. I jumped it twice.
For people who might not know, the phrase jump the shark comes from an episode of Happy Days when the Fonz, they go on vacation to Hawaii, right?
That's right.
And your character?
We came actually here.
It was California.
California, yeah. Okay.
But it's okay. It's water and sun.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Don't mention it.
That's so nice he is.
He's so nice.
He is a delight.
And but every time they mention Jump the Shark in press, mm-hmm. they always show a picture of me on water skis.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I had good legs at that time. So
sure.
You did.
Cares? I don't care.
Yeah, that's not really an attack on you anyway.
And we were number one for 6 years after
right.
that
it's
show.
The moment when a show is no longer what it once was.
So at the time, you weren't thinking to yourself, we should not be doing this Jump the Shark episode.
No, I was thinking that I was a water ski instructor in summer camp. That I did all the water skiing except for the jump. They brought a guy in from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great time.
And at least you were doing something cool. It wasn't, you weren't, you know, they didn't dress you as a moil, in which case it would be cut the foreskin or something, you know.
No, I've done that.
You have been a moil.
That was a summer job.
Is you saying Happy Days was number one for 6 years after you jumped the shark?
Yes, it was.
Wow.
That's good to know. Anytime someone tells you your show has jumped the shark, you know you have at least 6 more years of number one ratings.
Yeah, really?
Wow.
I got mail from 126 countries. Do I care that this man has written a book that is now out of print?
Again, for me, it's one of those things that just puts, you will go down in history. You will always, as long as people say jump the shark, they'll remember you. Mike?
Adam.
You met Henry?
Oh, yes. I wanted to say this man is the most genuine. What you see is a nice gentleman in front of you, as gracious as he is. I had the opportunity. He was doing a play a few years ago with Edmund Herman, I believe it was.
And, that's right. Ed Herman and John Ritter.
Yes. Mm. And
you want to talk about a nice guy. Oof. John Ritter.
I miss him every day.
I know. I don't want to cut you off, but I did a little pilot with him once, and you want to talk, I know I've said this before, and it's easy to say about guys that pass away before their time, but John Ritter was one of the nicest guys.
And funny.
And you and he were close friends, Henry
Very
Winkler?
Close friends.
Mm. Really?
We were very close. We met at the 25th anniversary of ABC. He mm-hmm. was sitting at the table right next to me. And the play was Neil Simon's The Dinner Party, and then we took it to Broadway,
mm-hmm.
you know? Now, and so, Mike, I really do appreciate that you came and saw the play, because we had
a great... Oh, it was great. Your agent at the time, I don't know if she still represents you, but I was fortunate enough to meet you afterwards, and you were just... There was no ego, no attitude. You were just... It was like you just were very pleased that there was somebody that wanted to come and say something kind and nice about the work you had just done. And sure. I never forgot that. That's such a relief when you read so much garbage about stars in Hollywood. So I commend you.
Would you come in and so I could put your business in a mousetrap?
You know, it takes a lot for me to say this, Henry, because I'm a graduate of Princeton. So, you know, I'd love to knock at Eli. So let me tell you,
Mike, my best friend in the whole world, Frank Dines, a great psychiatrist here in this town. He is also a Princeton boy.
And you're still thick as thieves with him.
Thick as thieves.
Let's talk
I'm happy to have him as a friend.
Someone that says Henry bought them a movie ticket, Jeff.
Yeah, hi.
What's the story there?
How you doing? Yeah, I just moved out to California in 1993 from New Jersey. And I was living at the Oakwood Apartments, and I went up to the City Walk, which had just been built. And Henry was... I was in line waiting for a movie, and all of a sudden I feel this guy signaling me from the side, just whispering me, and I look over, it's Henry Winkler.
Hold on a second.
Okay. Jeff,
can you untie that hooker? You just let her back out? What's going on back there?
That wasn't me. Oh, that's my dog. I'm sorry.
Is that a dog?
Well, untie the dog and let the dog out.
He wants me to take him for a walk. I can't do it right now.
All right.
Anyway, so Henry signals. He goes, "Can I just cut in front of you? I forgot something." And I go, "It's Henry Winkler." I go, "Sure." He comes. He goes, "I forgot to buy one ticket for my kid," and he was really nice. We talked for a minute, and then he went and he bought me my movie ticket. He goes, "Here, well, here's for you." And he paid for my movie. It was like my first day in L.A. It was the coolest thing. He was a really sweet guy.
Yeah, that's cool. You come out, and the Fonz buys you a ticket. Do you remember what movie it was?
I was seeing In the Line of Fire.
mm-hmm. for the second time. And
not,
I don't know what
not the gay porn version of it, but
the one that you just showed
actual
the
movie. Okay.
No comment.
All right, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
I don't know if he remembers that, but I appreciate it.
You know, like it was yesterday.
Well, I said before he came in, the nicest guy in show business, Henry Winkler. And sadly, John Ritter, second nicest guy in show business. Yeah. Not with us anymore. I'm usually happy when celebrities pass on, but John, in the case of John Ritter, not happy. Yeah. Speaking of passing on, I don't know why, but my assistant Lindsay, before you came in, said, "Well, it must be nice for you to see Henry again. You guys went to high school together." I said, "No, I don't think we went to high school together." She said,
so.
"I thought I heard you say you went to high school with him." No.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in North Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
You're from New York, but what part?
I Manhattan, 78 from Broadway. Huh? I went to McBurney School for Boys. Gray slacks, blue blazer.
Sounds like another gay porn movie.
It does.
McBurney School for Boys.
A tie
They'll
every night.
You.
Yeah.
Gay porn.
Can I just say, have we said on the air last
A-hole,
night?
A-hole, yes.
No, I'm not going to say that again. No. But last night I took my son, Max, and we went to see The Departed, a screening of Jack Nicholson's
movie. No, we're talking
movie.
About it off the air.
Oh, my goodness. Can
Good
I just
movie,
say,
huh?
I can't wait for your audience to go and see this movie.
This is Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Scorsese.
But Mark Wahlberg, Martin Sheen. Everybody in this movie is at the best they could possibly be.
And Scorsese is one of these guys, to me, that's like, I guess if he was a baseball player, he would be one of these guys that just hit colossal home runs, just tape measure home runs, or maybe he struck out, but there was never a stand-up double.
It's swings for the fences.
Crazy swing for the fence, and if he hits it right, no ball travels further.
He hit it right, and it is further than any ball has gone. This movie is extraordinary.
You could buy us all a ticket.
It is bloody. It is really violent, but Jack Nicholson is I wish that one day I could achieve his ability.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, because normally, again, actors sometimes can be, they're like comedians, a little bit petty with other people's abilities. But it's the same lifestyle you and Jack have, the boozing, the womanizing.
That's me. No. It's, as a matter of fact, my booze and my woman are just on the other side of this wall.
That's going to be uncomfortable when I go to the bathroom. All right, Henry, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it.
Lived up to the hype and more.
I know.
What a delight.
Hank Zipser, name of the book. It's a whole series. Go to Hank Zipser. That's ZIPZER.com for more information.
There are 10 books in the stores right now.
Buy at least 8 of them, even if you don't have kids. Henry's a great guy.
They're funny books.
The books are funny.
Yeah.
And we want to support our friends. Thanks, Henry. Deaf Frat Guy coming up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
With the Deaf Frat Guy.
Today's review, El Piso Cocho in San Diego. The mood in this luxurious, romantic Rancho Bernardo Inn dining room is formal, with rich French fare, impeccable service, and live piano music. Moose can totally play Happy Birthday on the piano with his wang. They should have someone do that. This place needs more food, less tune. I give it 4 potato gun blasts.
Maverick, Deaf Frat Guy, as you know him, in the studio.
Hell yeah.
Now, just to give everyone a heads up, Jimmy Kimmel's going to come in, Richard Roper from Ebert and Roper, and Perez Hilton, Gossip Queen Perez Hilton, to help us decide who's going to win the $10,000. I have 2 checks.
Ooh.
I have one made out for Mike August. I have one made out for Fatty McDaddy. I'm not sure if that's his Christian name.
It appears that either Knoxville or Howard Stern is going to be the winner, unless at the very last minute some big, big name shows up.
Yes, yes. I will sign these, or we'll sign only one of them, and that's who'll walk away with the $10,000, unless one of you people within the sound of my voice can buck up in the next hour and a half.
I read the transcript.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you got a guy in here with a mousetrap on his dong.
Right. Right, Johnny Knoxville.
You are going to give the money to a guy who came on here to bash terrestrial radio.
Well,
you know, when you put it that way, you do make a compelling argument for Knoxville.
Look, the thing with Howard he's great. But like, you don't come on here on the telephone mm-hmm. and say like, "Oh, I'm so happy now."
Right, I understand. Well, that transcript you read as well.
Well, you probably never heard the Howard Stern Show, given your
disability.
I read about him. He's dead. I know who he is.
All right, okay. Dave. Don't
bum him out. He gets bummed out sometimes.
Well, Mav, maybe we should shift gears here and talk about what's going on in your life.
The thing is, mousetrap on the nut wins every time.
And maybe the more you know. Maybe part of the new hazing ritual for the Delta Fu pledges, yes?
That's old.
Oh, I see. Been doing that for a while. How's the frat doing?
Do you want to hear Moose's version, or do you want to hear the truth?
I like to hear both, actually.
Moon in the camp counselor, and he came back. We were thinking he was a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was doing rowing, but mm-hmm. a lot bigger. But then I realized it was not hard muscle. It was something different.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we know, we get waiting. He ripped open his shirt, and he's got a pair of breasts.
Wait a minute. Now, Moose is a guy who catches wood when he watched the half ball, when he saw the halftime show of the Super Bowl with the Rolling Stones appearing, right?
Moose is a great guy, but he went too far here.
Mm-hmm.
He lost a bet at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or they said that they would give him $2,000 if he went on estrogen to grow breasts.
Really?
And now he loves the way they look and feel.
He's keeping them.
He has boobs.
He's like a D-cup, bro.
Whoa.
That must be confusing for you after you funnel a few beers.
I don't even want to funnel beers with him anymore.
Well, I understand.
But he is in class. Now he's open about it. He's in class, feeling his breath, massaging the nipples.
It's a black eye for the Delta Fu.
Yeah, is he still Delta Fu material?
I don't even know. I'm really sort of bummed out about this. Because on the one hand, it's like a really smart idea.
Mm-hmm. Giving yourself boobs as a dude.
He's cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's comfortable with his own sexuality.
Right.
He has some trouble also when you're wrestling with him, doesn't he get wood?
That was another guy. It was with a black guy.
Oh, I see. Okay. I find when I talk to people who are comfortable with their sexuality, I'm usually not.
Right.
That's my rule of thumb. The more comfortable you are with your sexuality, the more uncomfortable I am with your sexuality.
He thinks he doesn't have a problem with it. Why should we?
Well, it is kind of weird if one of your best bros is taking estrogen and, you know, developing boobs. And like I said, you guys are drunk. Your hormones are going off. It could lead to some pretty weird situations.
He's freaking because he loves to take his shirt off all the time. And he can't get busted because he's a dude.
Right.
Understand.
Wow.
And they're like,
wow.
And then you know he's a dude. He had the goatee.
Oh, Moose has a goatee.
Yeah, he's a little bit. He's shaved his chest, but he's still a hairy guy.
Well, so he's on the estrogen. I would ask you if it gave him a higher voice, but you probably can't hear it.
Well, he did the estrogen to get the breath.
Right.
And now he's back to normal. Mm-hmm. And when he goes down to his C-cup, he'll get back on it.
Right.
To maintain.
But it's just sort of a bummer because some people make him a joke.
Right. And it's not reflecting well in the Delta Fu house.
And he's hanging out with different people.
Oh, he's running with a different crowd now.
A little bit.
He's not running with the Delta Fu crowd anymore?
He's totally different from when he went to camp.
Oh. What kind of camp was this?
I don't know, bro.
Like a musical theater camp?
I don't know what the deal is, but Moose is Moose.
Right.
He's not hanging out with Blake Chambers.
Well, like, at first, we're like, yeah, you lost the bag. You know, right. You had to grow bread.
Sure.
That's cool. But mm-hmm. now he's like, he had no plans on getting rid of them.
When we did the man show, we had, just to show you how kooky the standards and practices people are, when we did the man show, we had a guy who was a world-class gambler, and he would take bets from his buddies, and one of the bets was, I think, 50 grand to get silicone implants.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we wanted to see the guy shirtless on our show, although we had to put Band-Aids over his nipples because he was a male, but he did have breast implants. Yet, when you turn on America's Biggest Loser, right in the middle of prime time, right in the middle of network television, they have 500-pound men wearing their underpants, climbing onto a scale with areolas bigger than Bruskas and D-cups bigger than Mooses just flapping out amongst the stretch marks and everything else. That, perfectly fine. But deep cable after 10 o'clock at night, we got to put Band-Aids on a guy's nipples. What the F is going on with our society? Do you understand how confusing it is being an atheist living amongst all these retards with their crazy rules and sexual mores? I'm glad you couldn't hear any of that rant because it was vitriolic.
You said something about man breath.
Yeah.
But Maverick, you must have loved the man show when it was on, right?
Hell yeah.
Mav, what is going on, though, with Moose, though? You know, you've got a whole new crop of young ladies, freshmen, patrol, you know, going all over the USC campus. Is Moose going after those girls, or is he now, does he now consider himself a woman, and does, is he looking?
Ooh, someone came into his room. He was just sitting there fondling his breath.
So he's not even looking outside, man or woman. He's so pleased with himself.
He just walked around. He's like he's stunned or something.
He's like Double D zombie. He's just feeling his own boobs.
He can't stop. He says it's the best of all possible worlds.
Are they nice?
Yeah, I mean, it's a D cop. I can't say that they're not. You know, because
but you're not attracted to Moose's chest at all, are you?
Well, he's, you know, had reddish hair, so he had the strawberry little nipple.
Right, the smallest.
The smallest ones. Right. So, I mean, yeah, if it was a chick, I would be like, yeah, that's pretty much a perfect rack.
But if you, you've never felt them, have you?
Not really,
though. No. Not really.
A little pause there.
It's hard because he'll come up to you at a party and rub up against you.
Right.
Wow.
No, and I know you have at least a 4-beer buzz going almost 24 hours a day, so it's got to be tough for you to keep your hands away.
Bro, you know what? Maybe that's true from Wednesday to Sunday or whatever, but right. I have to put my head down this year and really work.
So you're saying from...
I have to graduate
from,
this year.
From Monday to Tuesday, you're really going to study hard? Right.
In the afternoon, if I have a class, instead of maybe taking a nap, I will go to the library.
Right. Okay.
Because I think this thing, college was great for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Maybe now it's time to move on, to come out and get a real job. I want to work here and maybe do the weather.
I understand.
Well, deja vu.
Send a tape to Jack Silver. Def Rack Guy, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for coming in.
I think you should do it for the jackass guy.
You're saying vote for the jackass guy.
Because, dude, you can't replicate a nut in the mouse trap.
Well, maybe we'll get Moose in here and we'll put his boobs in the mouse trap.
Dude, don't. I just want to say that the only reason I told that story is because Moose only listens to terrestrial radio. I mean, he doesn't listen to terrestrial.
He listens to Stern, so he didn't hear you say that.
No, he's not listening to terrestrial radio.
I understand. So we have porn star Jesse Jane, Molly, my dog, and me and Dave will be doing our NFL picks. We will get to last week, winners and losers, and spin the gambling wheel again. Here's the deal. We gamble on the games, and then we gamble on the wheel. You spin the wheel. The wheel has spin again. It has 50 cents, but also has $1,000, $500. I lost twice, but thankfully the wheel landed on 50 bucks each time last time we did it, so I'm only into Dave for 100. But we'll figure out how much I'm into him for. And get everyone's picks next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's vault.
This is a dark with the ATM machine.
I'm at one of your ATM machines and there's a problem with it.
Okay.
I tried to withdraw $60. Instead, it gave me $100. Now, the receipt says $60, but I'm standing here with $100. Now, I could walk away, but I'm here with my little boy. and I want to teach my son how to do right.
I understand.
And I let him know that, you know, by doing this, you get rewarded, right?
Right.
Oh, machine just spit out another 20. Look at that.
What?
Machine just spit out another $20 bill. Well, up, there it goes again. This is just like a slot machine. Look at this.
Where is this at, ma'am? I need to know. If you're going to do this, I can get the cops involved.
Get the cops involved?
Right now, you're going through my answering system. My answering system is recording our conversation.
I don't care. Nobody ever fingerprinted my voice, I tell you that.
Now, you went from trying to teach your boy on honesty so you can get the reward.
Yes, and you are not working with me. You know what, baby? Since the people don't want to give us a reward, maybe we'll take their nice money and give it to the homeless. Oops, look, there's another one.
Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we have many things to do. I think all of them are going to cost me money. I have two checks here for $10,000. One will either go to Super Booker Mike August, the other Super Flunky Big Tad. We'll settle that. Jimmy Kimmel's going to come in. Also, Richard Roper from Ebert and Roper. Perez Hilton, all going to help me decide. But ultimately, it'll be my decision. And I will part with $10,000. Now, I'm already into Damashek for $100 because we spun the wheel twice in consecutive weeks. I lost each time, and it landed on 50.
It's the only place I failed so far in this football season.
I feel like I got some bad karma going in here. I think the fact that I'm going to hand out $10,000 of my own money in about 45 minutes doesn't bode well for the next wheel spin. Mm-hmm. The wheel that we spin after we decide who wins and loses has $50, $100, but there's also $1,000. There's spin again. There's 50 cents. There's double the amount of last week. It's all up there. We'll spin it in a second. First, let's go over the winners and losers.
Okay, last week, quickly, in week three of the NFL season, Adam, in the four games we picked, you went 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this will hurt you because Molly, the dog, your dog, went 3-1.
Oh.
Now, to add insult to injury, porn star Jessie Jane went at least 3-1. We don't know what her fourth pick was because she was 30,000 feet in the sky and she cut out her phone. She may have gone 4-0.
Molly and the porn star have beaten Adam.
She called us from an airplane. Yes. And it went. We
and
got off the
no
line.
No big surprise, given that Molly and Jesse beat you, that Dave Damashek also beat you for the umpteenth time. I went 3-1 as well, moving my personal record to 21-2 out of the last 23
wow.
games picked. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but last season is last season. It doesn't roll over.
Yeah, you rolled it over, but you're still doing very well.
10-2.
10-2 is marvelous.
Against the spread is really marvelous.
And we're not picking every game. We're trying to focus on the West Coast games, the Arizona, the teams in our markets.
If someone were betting and they chose your picks, they'd be rich right now.
Absolutely.
Yes. Especially if their name was Dave Damashek. Well, shall we spin the wheel, Brusket, and see what I...
So it's a three-way tie, basically. We'll split the reward, I guess. Me, Molly, and Jesse.
I wonder what Molly will buy with her kibbles.
I have a feeling it's going to go towards a new car for her owner.
All right, let's see where it ends up.
Come
Please
on,
do
5K.
Not land on that $5,000.
Now we're talking.
$500.
$500. So now what? So you owe a total to Dave now of
a little more than $250 because we're splitting the $500 three ways.
No, right? We decided
this
to
is between me and Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it
is. I owe Dave $600.
Wow. Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Wow,
little
that's
perhaps
nice.
I should just rip a corner off the check of this $10,000 I'm going to give away.
However you want to do it.
My wife is on the phone. So is porn star Jessie Jane. Let's see who to talk to.
Your wife.
Jessie?
Oh, no.
Close his wife.
Lynette?
Yes.
Do you have Molly there?
I do. She's waiting.
I know you don't like me talking to the porn stars, but Jack says we need more porn on the show. Am I right, Jack Silver, program director?
More porn, less Brusca!
I understand. Lynette, do you have Molly there?
Yes, she's here.
Okay, do you have the list of the games?
Yes, I do.
It is a ridiculous business we're in. I get an email late last night. Here are the games. I print it out. Then I go down. I tell Lynette, look, you got to make picks. Molly's going to have to pick off these emails. I thought you took Molly into work. I can't. I got to go do that godforsaken think tank thing after the show. I can't bring Molly in. Well, how are we going to have... Just get the kibble!
Lynette, is that an accurate description of what happened?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, Molly makes the picks, we should say. You put down a piece of paper with each team and a little bit of kibble on each, and then Molly...
And Molly picks where she, which one she wants to go to.
Well, it's hard, hard to argue with 3-1. So first, we're going St. Louis at Arizona. Arizona is given away. Oh, wait a minute.
No,
that was
Atlanta,
last week. Sorry.
Atlanta. Arizona is at the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I was
That's right.
I don't have that.
Minus 7.5.
The home Falcons giving 7.5 after their loss on Monday night. Who shall go first? Molly the dog or Ace, would you like to go?
Well, how's Molly poised?
Molly's ready.
She's
San
ready.
San Diego or Baltimore? She's going straight for San Diego.
Oh, we're going back to the top. So she's going for San Diego.
She took San Diego.
All right.
Will you be influenced by your dog?
Well, I got to say, I used to have respect for Molly until she started humping our kid's hippo pillow. They have somebody got them hippo, like a chair that's shaped like a hippo.
Yes, I've seen those.
I don't know what those things are called, but it's a big purple hippo, and it's a chair for the kids. And Molly rapes it. A conservative estimate of the amount of times that Molly rapes the hippo chair, 20? What would be the over-under on a daily basis?
Oh, my God. It's embarrassing.
It is nice. It's nice when folks come over and they come to see the kids and the hippo chair. Lynette.
Yeah.
How about this? Mm-hmm. Because I'm an innovator.
Mm-hmm.
You know the chair that the dog rapes violently each and every time she comes across it?
Yes.
Perhaps we move that out of the room that the kids and all the guests are in constantly.
Where are we going to put it?
Anywhere but the room where the twins are and all the old people who are meeting the twins are standing there and are then distracted by Molly raping the bejesus out of the hippo chair.
All right, we'll put it in our bedroom.
And by the time those kids are old enough to utilize that chair, I'm going to have to smack it with a mallet in order just to crack the casing loose on it so it has some give.
And then yesterday, Sal's son, Melissa, his wife, brought over Archie, and Archie went straight for the chair and hugged it and started kissing it and sat in it.
Well, this chair is obviously asking for it.
What, Teresa?
The chair is obviously asking for it.
Yeah, the chair, definitely.
Must be hot, the chair.
I'm just saying...
It's Molly's boyfriend.
Well, let's move Molly's boyfriend to a room that everyone doesn't stand around in. Yes?
Okay, fine.
All right. So Molly goes with San Diego.
San Diego Chargers. Battle of the Undefeated is at Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's expecting Phil Rivers, their rookie, young QB, to wilt at the Ravens' defense.
Well, so am I. I'm going Baltimore on this one.
You are, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Molly and go with the San Diegos in this one. Minus 2.5 at Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Now we go on to Arizona. Atlanta. They're at Atlanta. 7.5 points. Atlanta's giving away. What does Molly say?
All right, hold on. Atlanta or Arizona?
Oh, hold on. Yeah, we got to get Jesse Jane. I'm going to get Jesse in
Molly's
here.
Molly's picked Atlanta.
Jesse Jane, porn star?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm jumping back. Baltimore or San Diego? I forgot about you.
Well, I like San Diego because I like to take charge in bed, and I would like somebody to charge me.
Hey, you know, my dog's looking for something to hump. Perhaps you could swing by the nursery this afternoon. Better in a hippo chair.
Oh, you're above that.
All right, let's move ahead to Arizona, Atlanta, or move back to Arizona, Atlanta. What do you say? What does Molly say, Lynette?
Molly said Atlanta.
Jesse Jane, what do you say?
I'm sorry.
Atlanta or Arizona?
Ooh, I like the Falcons because I like to be spread eagle. Sorry, I can't help myself.
Wasn't expecting a sexual innuendo.
I wasn't either. I'm going to go Atlanta on this one because I enjoy being spread eagle as well.
Unanimous then. I say the Falcons at home.
Okay, now we move on to Seattle, Chicago.
Ooh.
Lynette, how does Molly come down on this
Molly's
one?
Molly's taking Seattle.
She's taking Seattle.
Yeah.
Her papa's taking Seattle as well, and I don't mean the hippo chair. I'm talking about her owner. I'm going Seattle on this one. Jesse Jane, what do you say?
I'm going to go Chicago because I like to be bare naked.
Obvious, but still works with her theme. Now, Seattle isn't going to have Sean Alexander, their star runner. They're going to go with Maurice Morris. That town of Chicago is going to be wild on Sunday night. Bears are given 3.5.
It's
this is
the
a
half
really tough
that
call.
Scares me because I think 17-14 type game the Bears win, but you get that half point.
Yes, the Bears have everything to lose with this one. This is one they should win. I'm going to go with the Bears.
Go with the Bears. Last game, New England at Cincy. Cincy giving away 6 points. How does Molly see it, Lynette?
He's taking Cincinnati.
Taking Cincy. I'm going to go New England on this one. I'm not sure if they've completely collapsed or they're going to bounce back. I'm going with bounce
back.
Talk
to their backs against the wall. Yes, this is a really big game for the
Jesse
Patriots.
Jane, what do you say?
I'm going to go with the Bengals because I like to get banged.
Come on, baby. It's all part of the showbiz. By the way, me and Uncle Lycus are going out tonight, so you don't have to wait up.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You were supposed to babysit the kids while I go out tonight.
What about that?
Yeah, what about that?
All right.
Wait, can I say something?
Me and Lycus will watch the kids.
While we're on the subject, Lynette, I'd like to say happy anniversary.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you.
Don't bring that up.
Thank you.
Can I tell you, I forgot to get a card or a present or anything, but I'll tell you who didn't. Oswaldo.
Oh, no.
And I keep telling... I get mad at goddamn Oswaldo because he's handing Lynette an anniversary card, but her husband isn't.
Yeah, beautiful anniversary card. First thing in the morning, he comes in. Happy anniversary, Lynette. He gives me a big hug, gives me his card.
Right.
Then he calls last night to wish Adam a happy anniversary.
Him and his wife call, but I just look that much worse because I have no card and no present.
What happened?
Adam, diamonds always help.
Yes.
Yeah, Adam.
I was like out of town. I was confused.
They have stores in New York.
Yeah, exactly. They're great stores.
Didn't we just have an anniversary? I feel like we just had one.
No, our kids were just born.
We have, you say kids plural?
Oh, it was my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's hold on. That's my point. That's the deal. If it's not the anniversary, it's the birthday. If it's not the birthday, some kids are being born. When does it end?
Well, maybe Ozzy can give you a heads up next time because he remembers.
Ozzy gives me and my wife an anniversary card.
Sweet.
All right. Last one. Where are we?
So everyone is picked, I believe, right? Jesse Jane just picked.
Cincy.
She picked Cincinnati. This is the first time, and I bet you in years, that New England has been at least a 6-point underdog. Ooh. At Cincinnati. That spread seems fishy. It's already dropping. It started at 6.5. It's down to 6 now. I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh, well, they just beat your Steelers last week, so you should know. Baby doll?
Yeah?
Let's go ahead and scrape up the hippo chair and move it into another room. Can we do that?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll move it into another room.
Right.
All right.
All right. Thank Molly for me.
Okay.
Lynette?
Yes?
Quickly, how are the babies?
They're wonderful, thank you. They're doing really well.
They're cute.
They're really cute. Adam was holding our daughter last night doing the Survivor dance and holding her like a football and doing the Heisman dance.
I did the Heisman pose. Thank
That's
you.
Cute.
I did the Heisman pose using my daughter's the football. It was a great thing. As I've said, I do my Survivor dance every time Survivor comes on. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I just have to spring up off the sofa and I dance around like a maniac. And this time I happen to have my daughter with me. Now, she's not such a handful. The boy is built like a pony cake. You know, he's fat, round, and heavy. I stopped using butt plug to describe him. I think my wife got mad. But I did my dance, and I had my daughter with me, and I was working her into the dance like any lady good artist would. She was enjoying herself, and then at a certain point, I struck up the Heisman pose using the daughter as the football. Arm down, knee up.
You tease us all, though, with stories of this dance, and yet we'll never get to see it unless we're in your home on a
Thursday
on
nights, 8 o'clock. Come on by. You'll see not only the Survivor dance, but the Heisman pose using my young daughter
and
as a football.
And maybe a little raping of the hippo chair, if we're lucky.
Yes. Now, I probably got too caught up into it and spiked her later on. When you cross the goal line,
Their
you cross the goal
soft.
line. I know it's funny because we have been watching my dog rape this hippo chair nonstop for 3 months, and we're throwing, you know, yelling at her, and she's doing it in front of company and people and relatives and stuff. But it just dawned on me, well, why don't we move the goddamn chair out of the room so she could rape it and have some dignity? And I'm sure that's the way Molly would like it, too. have to try to explain to her that she's a dog and she's a female and she shouldn't be raping hippos and she has no phallus, but it's all falls on deaf ears. All right, we need to what? Take a break. We will make a pick when we return. Now, are we going to do news or sports, or are we going to dedicate the next few segments to giving away the 10 grand?
Yeah, unfortunately, news and sports, we got to blow off.
Well, there's bigger news.
There is bigger news. We got to give $10,000 away. Mm-hmm. Knoxville or Stern, it's coming down to. I like to get people's opinions. Call in, 866-901-ADAM.
Also, yeah, we'll have Kimmel in here, Richard Roper, Perez Hilton. A very eclectic mix of experts. But Kimmel, if you think about it, sits in an office all day and decides, does this guest go on first? Does he go on second? Is it a stand-up that does their set and then is asked to come sit on the sofa? Or do we go to commercial break? Or do they not get on the show at all? You could argue that a late-night show host has a better yardstick to measure celebrity than just about anyone else in our society. But Richard Roper reviews movies for a living, and then Perez Hilton.
He's plugged into what's hip.
Yeah, Seamster.
Right. Okay. We'll talk to all of them. We'll talk to you. We'll give away $10,000 after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where today someone's going to walk away with $10,000.
10 grand is going to the person that gets us the best guest.
Mike August is the name of the guy who books our talent.
Beat him, and you'll win 10 grand.
Bring them on.
Outbook August in September. Willie Nelson.
Some years back, you gave me a tour of your tour bus, and it smelled like bong water.
Oh, yeah.
Howard Stern.
The idea that you're there doing the show is something that comforts me. I'm sure the show is in good hands.
Well, thank you very much. All right.
Johnny Knoxville.
Move your hand.
Someone's going to win $10,000 in the next 30 minutes. Stick around to find out who it is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, I have two checks here. One is made out to Mike, the other to Big Tad, and I have not signed either one of them, and I will do that shortly, and they will go away with $10,000. Everyone in here to plead their case. We'll have Kimmel in a couple of few, Richard Roper, Perez Hilton. Mike, you look great.
Thank you, Ace. Pleasure to be here again.
Jeez. Mike looked at this as a court appearance, and he is going to argue his case, and he put on a suit and tie and looks great. Where's Big Tad? Well,
he never wears a suit and tie when he comes in here.
I am a professional.
You're a professional ass. That's professional what you are.
I'm always amazed that when folks come into court, when you watch one of these court shows and the guy's wearing a Making Bacon t-shirt. And a shirt that says, and a hat that says, no fat chicks. Like, and it's a heavy set female judge who's sitting there. It's like, really? That's what you wear to court?
Adam, Tad has several pieces of bacon stuck in his beard.
Yes.
Adam, I'm just keeping it real.
I understand. So,
real this is dumb.
Big Tad, Big Tad, you booked Stern and August books Knoxville. Now, according to the poll from AdamCarolla.com, Knoxville 48%. Stern 38%.
Ooh,
so 10 percentage points. I'm surprised. Let's take it to the people and see what they have to say. I've not rendered a decision. I am waffling, I must say. We've talked about it.
You made Tad hungry.
Stern called in. I know the bacon and waffle thing. Yeah. I guess I didn't eat breakfast. Here's the deal. Stern called in. We simulcast on his show. That was all great and everything, but Knoxville came in and put somebody's peccaroo in a mousetrap, and that may have pushed him over the top. Dean?
Hey, what's up?
What do you think?
I got to go Johnny Knoxville.
Yes!
You know, mm-hmm. I like the way he kicks his own ass and does it for a living. You know, nobody else wants to do it, and he does it for us, man.
Mm. So Knoxville, and you make a compelling point, he kicks his own ass.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Donnie. Donnie?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
How say you, my brother?
I say, well, is there any chance that you can write a third check and just put Adam Carolla's name on there?
Yeah, thank you very much for making myself.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll have to go Johnny Knoxville,
yes!
Hands down then. Period.
Mm-hmm. Period. All right.
Period. He put junk in a mousetrap. He didn't rip on your media format at all.
I love this guy.
You know, I mean, yeah, period. No,
well, this was going to be one of your major things, Ace. Was one of the big yardsticks was, like you just said, Knoxville came in, was here for as long as you wanted to yap with him. He did the whole mousetrap thing. Stern was merely on the telephone. That's
yeah,
got
it. But it was simulcast.
Even Steven, Stern probably wins, but this is really an interesting element to it.
Rich Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Rich does all our parody songs for us. Rich, how say you?
I've got Howard Stern on this one.
Rich.
Why is that, Rich?
Huge star. Knoxville's great, but Stern's the A-lister. I go with the late-night talk show.
Mm. Yeah, the analogy that Kimmel made, or the example that Kimmel gave, which is he hosts a late-night show. He'd rather have Stern on his... as far as getting ratings, he'd rather... better booking would be Stern than Knoxville. I understand that.
Exactly. Plus a funnier song.
Oh, yeah, right. All right, Rich, get back to your mom's basement.
All right.
Thank you. Let's talk to...
That was awful.
Let's see. Brent?
Yes, sir.
How say you?
I say it's got to be Knoxville all the way.
Mm-hmm. Why?
All the way.
Why?
Well, he put his cash and prizes in a mousetrap.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, Brent. You know. Let's give the boys a chance to make a case for themselves because, man...
I'm confused.
My head is swimming.
The young people love Johnny Knoxville.
But he put his junk in a trap, whereas Howard Stern has a long career of being creative and funny and writing books. Mm.
The people are speaking, people. Well, let's hear them out.
Speaking of speaking people, let's hear you, Mike. What do you have to say?
Well, let's talk about originality, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Howard Stern, part of the broadcast past. Mm-hmm. Johnny Knoxville, the future. The number one box office leader, not only last week, but going into this weekend as well. Mm-hmm. Johnny Knoxville comes in this studio, all right, not to plug his film, comes here to be part of our thing on the Windy City Heat release,
uh-huh.
and plays it to the hilt.
Well, he did no shilling of his own product.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely not. He came to play Johnny Knoxville. Not only that, this thing has exploded now on the internet. It's all over Viceland.com. Audio and video.
This
it's
is Knoxville putting the junk into the mousetrap.
Absolutely.
Oh, the
it's
video
out
of
there.
It.
Yes. In fact, I just got a news flash. This coming Monday, the press release that Johnny Knoxville will be starring in Windy City Heat 2 will be on the front page of Variety.
Oh, that's
this is
big.
A story that has legs that's going to do this show good for months to come.
The genesis of this took place on our airwaves. Wow, that
absolutely.
Is pretty significant.
Mm. Plus, let's talk about degree of difficulty. I had to run Johnny down last week at Jimmy Kimmel Live. I spent an entire weekend going back and forth, emails, conversations, getting the big three all set up with Johnny, getting him here in studio.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tumult outside with security. It was insane. It took me days to make that happen.
It is interesting that the thing has legs, and it's an interesting component I never really thought of, that this is being talked about on the internet. If it ends up on the cover of Variety come Tuesday...
That's big.
Yeah. Big Tad?
Oh, I forgot, August. That's your job. That's what you do.
Buddy, I came to play.
Listen. Okay, here's the deal. Howard Stern, we made radio history on Monday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here are a few reasons why Howard Stern is the bigger celebrity in the Outbook August competition. I had to write this down because you know how I am.
Mm-hmm.
Howard hasn't been on terrestrial radio since December 16th of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do that many interviews, and he only does them with big names, talent like you, Adam.
Thank you, Big Ted.
Last time we saw him was on Letterman and 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
He came on the show and praised Adam, basically passing the torch to you, Mr. Carolla.
Mm-hmm.
He also came on and squashed the rumors that he was coming back to terrestrial radio.
Was that before or after he did his
commercial? Do that anywhere else besides this show and his show.
Oh, that's
the
that's
interview.
A good point.
The interview with Howard Stern was written up in the LA Times, a well-respected newspaper, by the way. The Johnny Knoxville interview was not.
Oh, really?
Howard is worth over $700 million and is ranked 7th in Forbes magazine's 100 most influential celebrities in the world, 2006.
Johnny Knoxville signed a contract for $10 million in the studio.
Johnny, did I interrupt you, sir? Did I interrupt you?
Wow.
Sir.
You probably should have.
Johnny Knoxville has been interviewed on Howard's show. So, therefore, by the transitive property, Howard is a bigger celebrity.
Spell that.
I don't need to spell
it,
Jack.
That's what I thought.
And finally, you not only got Howard Stern, you got Robin, you got Artie Lang, Baba Booey, and Mr. Sulu. Thank you for your time.
All right, let me chime in.
Is that a compelling.
First off, you've never seen Tad so well prepared, have you?
I want this.
I understand.
I did this for the show.
You
right.
did
and for the
for
money.
The show, Tad.
BS,
you did this for your
it
show.
Is your right. job,
settle,
man.
Settle,
oh,
settle.
I know, it's my
settle.
Job.
Settle.
I get to make a rebuttal.
Again, let me say what a difference a couple of dollars makes. A few months back when we said to Big Tad, hey, Big Tad, how about you do the entertainment report for the show?
I did do the entertainment report.
He was reading off a candy wrapper. He'd written something down with a burnt stick. J-Lo's... She's cool.
Kit Kat's in the news.
Oh, wait a minute. I had it flipped over. That's right. J-Lo's off to Paris. That's all I got. I only had 4 days prep. No,
did not have 4 days prep because Bruska came in sometimes and said, Tad, we need you to write an entertainment report really quick.
Here's the point, everybody.
I had to do it.
You take $10,000, you put it on a stick, and you wave it in front of Big Tad. All of a sudden, Howard Stern's on the blower, and he comes in with a prepared statement that he delivers.
I'm out there working every day looking for news reports and looking for...
It left a bad taste in this reviewer's mouth that you... rallied because of the 10 grand.
Everybody rally for 10 grand? I am not the booker here.
I've never seen you come in with something tight, prepared, oh, and deliver it so eloquently as you did when you're making a case for your $10,000.
I deserve this. I want it.
We deserve you to give your best effort, but even when we're not waving a suitcase full of money in front of you.
I understand that, and I'm out there looking for everything on that computer. I'm looking for news reports. I'm trying to help Jerron with human interest guests. I'm looking for celebrity stories.
And TV
and
news.
He's supposed to be the booker. He's supposed to be the talent booker.
Saw Survivor.
I'm taking the fifth.
Do you see how he shows up? You ever see Tad so well prepared?
Well, here's the question. Does it matter?
No. Yeah. Well, everything factors in.
Both made compelling arguments. I will say that.
The Knoxville video is on our website, adamcarolla.com,
now. And on Viceland and on YouTube.
We got to take a break. The phone lines are going nuts. We'll have our celebrities. We'll render a decision. And for those of you who want your 10 grand, well, you got about 10 minutes. Otherwise, it's going to one of these two buffoons. We'll hand it out after this.
Book August in September. Let's find out who wins $10,000 of Adam's money on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, here we are. I have two checks, and it's come down to this. This is the last day for Outbook August. Again, if you're sitting on any big celebrities, you have 13 minutes to call in. Now I'm looking at the phone lines here. Knoxville better, Howard better, Stern washed up, Knoxville better.
Total 41-21 for Knoxville so far in the callers.
Ooh,
and the
2-1.
Wow. And the website slightly ahead, Knoxville slightly ahead on our website poll.
Not surprising.
I'm going to be honest, quiet there,
okay,
Musso. Let me say this. When this started, you know, when Stern called in and then we found out Knoxville was coming in and stuff like that, I was very much in the Stern camp. But over the last couple of days, and maybe it's just looking on at the internet, or maybe it's the fact that so much has come of the Knoxville appearance, I'm starting to pull to the side a little, heading over toward Tennessee.
I'm glad that you said that you don't get a vote, Dave, and you forbade me from a vote and said, as a matter of fact, just shut up.
Right.
So I don't get a vote.
I think it bears repeating that not only is it your money, Adam, but it's your hard-earned money that you earned as a bonus because the show became number one in Vegas.
Oh, here.
Thank you. Thank you. Jimmy Kimmel is on the phone. Richard Roper is on the phone. Perez Hilton is in studio. Fellas.
Wow, what a bit. You got the real big three here on the telephone.
That's right. Richard, welcome to the show.
This is very exciting. I don't know if I'm more excited about Perez Hilton being in the studio or that recap, which sounded a lot like when Bush was against Kerry. And it's the way you guys are calling it. Well, we're now projecting Knoxville has the South wrapped up. Who
calls
the call in Maine?
Richard, I'm a big fan, by the way. I never miss a weekend.
Hey, Richard is funny, by the way. I really didn't imagine that, but Richard's very funny.
He's funny and he's straight, the two things I didn't know from watching him do the show.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah, he's straight, definitely, and funny, yeah.
You know, it's so funny.
Hilton's straight, too.
And I like Richard as well. He's giving me a shout-out on his column. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm Perez Hilton every single day. I got to see what's going on there. Very funny, very clever. I love it.
So thanks. You'll be sitting in with Kevin Smith this weekend for Ebert and Roper. And on Jimmy's show tonight, Eva Longoria and Artie Lang, speaking of the devil.
Wow. Artie Lang, part of the Howard Stern show, by the way. Sorry.
All right, who would like to go first? Richard, would you like to go first? How do you come down on this? You know celebrities.
You know, I want to hear Jimmy first, because I'll be able to mock his selection. And then there.
All right.
Richard.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Johnny Knoxville, there's no question, is a fantastic guest, and a lot of craziness happened when he was in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't that's not what we're looking for here. We're looking for the biggest guest you could book. And by that, I translate that to mean we're looking for the person that is most difficult to book, the white buffalo. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I've had Johnny Knoxville on my show probably 5 or 6 times.
Mm-mm, I see. When you say white buffalo, you don't mean Ted. You mean elusive. I understand. I was confused.
Howard Stern is very, very elusive.
Mm-hmm.
Leno
mm-hmm.
and Letterman kill each other over trying to book him on the show.
Right. No,
I don't think there's any question that when it comes from a booking perspective, when it comes from that Howard Stern, hands down, is
a very compelling point.
Yes.
And yes, I am going to factor in what they did in studio, but the elusiveness of the booking, very interesting and a very good point. Richard Roper, how say you?
Well, now that I know what I'm on the phone for, this helps a lot. So. apparently, there's some sort of content. No, I knew that. But I would have to say that Jimmy has now outlined the rules in a way that I understand better. And I would agree. You know, Knoxville's always going to be a home run as a guest, because he will cut off his own finger and eat it, and you'll have a segment, you know, which is always great. I agree with Jimmy, though. Unless Howard is, you know, on one of his media blitzes where he's doing several interviews, he doesn't do that kind of stuff, and he usually disdains that. So I think it's probably a compliment to you, Adam, that he would do it in the first place. Because if most people tried to get him to call in, he'd be like, I don't care if it's the Jerry Lewis telethon,
right,
and little Timmy's going to walk for the first time. I can't be bothered. So,
well, that's a good point.
You know, as a get, I would have to say that, you know, Howard is more impressive.
I agree, but you did stumble onto something there. Did our prior relationship, meaning mine with Howard Stern, aid in the get, as we're going to call it, and should that be factored in?
How about my relationship with Johnny Knoxville is the only reason you got him on the show?
That neutralizes.
That stings. That stings.
I think regardless of all those of your connections, you got to use whatever you can, whatever the motivation was.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I don't think Howard likes you that much, Adam. So I don't know.
He's the one who told me he thought you were gay, by the way, Richard. So. Yeah. All right. What do you think, Perez Hilton?
You know, I think Kimmel trumped you all this week when he had Clay Aiken on his show.
Oh,
let me tell you. But, you know, I think it's a sweep. I would go with Stern as well.
So
he is a legend.
The panel of experts all go with Stern.
He is the king of all media, and I'm his queen.
I agree. And the elusive point was very poignant.
It's called Outbook August. The contest is the booking.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's the most difficult guest to book, then he should win.
Howard Stern. Talking about degree of difficulty.
The people on the website all agree with that as well. They all vote Howard Stern too.
Well, I will say that if you go to adamcarolla.com and there's a little website or little message that says, you know, conversation with Howard Stern, there's over 2,000 views of that. So he did generate quite a bit of interest being on the show. Well, I will take this all under consideration, fellas.
And what
I will.
Consideration?
Yeah, it's a sweep.
I will. I'm the judge.
Adam's
I will
money.
Render a decision when we
bucks.
Return.
Okay.
All right, thanks, guys. Richard Roper, again, I'm a big fan.
Thanks, Adam.
Kevin Smith's going to be sitting in. When's Roger going to be back?
It's still probably going to be a couple of months before he returns to the show, so we'll have a variety of guest critics in the next few weeks.
How about I throw the Ace Man's hat in that ring?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, you'd be great.
Stare at Kevin Smith plugging his own DVD.
Wearing his chants.
Do you still have your checkbook out? Are you number one in any other markets? Can we talk?
All right, we'll talk off the air. I'm just saying, you could have a fat guy plug his own DVD, or you could have the Ace Man telling it like it is.
Wow.
All right, Jimmy, thank you, too. We'll be watching tonight. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Eva Longoria, and Artie Lang as well.
Ask her about her relationship with Tony Parker and Mike Kimmel.
Ooh.
Yes, Perez Hilton just broke a story on his website today about Eva Longoria.
What's going on? Broken up with Tony Parker?
Definitely.
Definitely.
And she may already have a new man that she probably won't admit to.
Who might?
I can't
when
say
we
who.
Come
let's
back.
Say another athlete.
When we come back.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will finish Outbook August in September. I will give away $10,000, and we'll do that right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show. It's decision time in Outbook August. Stern versus Knoxville. Tad versus August. Adam decides right now.
No. As soon as my mic gets turned on. Also, this late edition.
What?
Dirk Nowitzki is on the phone from
Dallas Mavericks.
Superstar.
Dirk Nowitzki.
That's right. Let's talk to him. Dirk.
7-footer.
Hello?
Hi, Dirk. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, no problem. I'm actually doing this for my nephew.
You're doing it for your nephew who wants to win the $10,000?
No, actually, he wants their phone guy to win the $10,000.
I see. Where are you calling from, Dirk?
I'm in Fort Worth right now.
Well, we're big fans and would love to see you if you ever come into Los Angeles, maybe play the Lakers and come see us in person. I don't think, while a great NBA star, I don't think you can beat Stern or Knoxville unless you can come into studio in the next couple of minutes. Can you just hop on a plane?
I don't think so.
Okay. Dirk, how would you vote if you had to give $10,000? Who is a bigger guest, a better guest, a bigger celebrity? Knoxville or Dirk? Or sorry, Knoxville or Stern? I was distracted because Bruska's yelling out in the hall. I can hear him. Who would you vote for?
Well, real quickly, I think if it were up to me, I think I would vote for Stern, definitely.
You'd vote for Stern?
Huh. Why? Is that?
Well, because I, you know, as much as I like Johnny Knoxville and I had the pleasure of meeting him,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think Stern wanted me to do a show one time.
See?
Mm-hmm. And did you do it?
No, actually, I was kind of scared.
I see.
Ah.
I don't know if that's a vote for or against. Well, Dirk, you're not scared to do our show, right?
I really don't know.
Well, you're here now. Dirk thought he called me at home. All right, Dirk.
Decisive.
We appreciate you chiming in. We appreciate you making the vote.
No problem. And I have to apologize because I told your phone guy, or my nephew told your phone guy I'd call him last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of too busy.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yes.
All right, thanks, Dirk. Why we needed that digression, I'm not sure. But let's just move forward.
Maybe if they had beaten the Miami Heat in the playoffs.
Oh,
then.
Big talk now.
Man.
We have checks here. One has Tad's name on it. The other has Mike's name on it. It is from my personal account. It is made out for $10,000. Tad, what is the most money you've had at any one given time?
Probably right now.
The most money you've ever seen was the $4,000 you borrowed from Kimmel to get out of your DUI, right?
Actually, it was $2,500.
How much
but
money
that's
do you
the most money you've ever seen is when Kimmel gave you $2,500 to give to the man for the DUI?
Yes, sir.
How much money do you owe Jimmy Kimmel?
I owe him $2,500.
Jimmy Kimmel really advocated for
there
him.
There is, can you feel the tension in the room?
Yeah.
August is beat red.
It's palpable.
And Fat Tad is white as a sheet.
And now I'm on my feet.
Oh, my God.
We're going to declare winner.
Wow.
$10,000, Kimmel, and our panel
Callers
of experts.
Say 48-30 Knoxville.
Say Stern.
No, that's
listen,
old. That's
listen.
Old.
What do you want?
Knoxville, number one movie. I'll tell you what. I am torn, so torn that I'm thinking about flipping a coin.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God.
No.
Do
I'm
it.
Thinking
do
about
it.
Flipping
no.
a coin.
Do it.
I've decided that this would be better if I just flipped the coin, and that way I wouldn't be responsible for
very
it.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
Do you guys think I should flip this coin?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. It's too close to call. How can you call it?
Too close, and I don't want to be responsible for it. I am going to flip a coin.
I would feel the same.
No, this is an outrage. No.
Stern will
fight
be heads.
For your rights.
Tad, I'm going to let Tad pick. Heads or tails?
Wow, he really
I'm going to flip a coin.
Hold it in your hand.
You know you don't deserve this, by the way.
Dad, heads.
It's your job, Dad, man. It's your freaking job to do.
Heads or tails, Ted. Heads or tails.
Kiss my ass, August.
Ted, heads or tails.
Somebody get security.
Ted, heads or tails. I'm going to flip the coin now.
Wow.
Call it.
Good luck.
We have $10,000. A minute left to show.
What is it? His own fate.
Tails.
Tails.
Oh, that's a
tails.
Bad pick.
Tails. Hold on, Mike. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay,
I'm not spinning
Dave,
a tornado.
Are you over there looking so we know this is fair?
Ace Ted has says the coin tails. Poised. If it lands on tails, Ted, $10,000 out of Hawk with Kimmel. I'm now flipping the coin. I slapped it on. I'm now going to lift my hand for $10,000. It is tails! $10,000 goes to Big Ted. Ted, are you at a loss for words?
Yeah, I am, actually.
You want to say anything before we sign off?
I'm absolutely crying.
Hey, it's $10,000. Thank you very much, Adam.
I'm signing the check. I'm signing the check over to you right now. Thank you, everybody who played along without Book August. Well,
alert the IRS to the fact that Ted will not be
a gracious loser.
Ted is now living in Santa Monica, California. What's your phone number, Ted?
All right. I want to thank Perez Hilton and Jimmy Kimmel and Richard Roper and, of course, Henry Winkler, Dirk Davinsky, all for coming. Ted, I'm going to make this out for you. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.